Hey, it's the Cleveland Moto Podcast. Light them up, boys. Yeah, there we go. Open it. I'm drinking Atomic Pumpkin. Oh, my God. The Voodoo Ranger Atomic Pumpkin has just a little habanero finish.
A little warmth.
A little warmth at the end for when you're hanging around the campfire. It's September 1, so like it or not, fuck you guys, it's spooky season. And I'm going to be wearing orange from now on.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
Yeah, it's official.
For another 2 months.
Yep. It's I guarantee goddamn tea. This is my season. Some people start Christmas right meow. Nope. It's Halloween season. This is it.
Are you getting ooky and spooky?
I'm getting super ooky and spooky. I got a 12-foot skeleton I got to build in my yard tomorrow or Sunday. So, yeah.
I'm going to be in my municipality's Halloween parade.
Oh, really?
Looking forward to that.
That's pretty cool.
So, you're going to head down to Red Wagon Farms or anything?
Oh, yeah. They'll be around for that.
Absolutely. Pumpkin patch. Yep.
Oh, yeah. All of that. I eat that shit.
Maze.
I love it.
I can't wait for pumpkin mini donuts out of the conveyor.
Yes.
Here's a heads up.
Yeah.
Red Wagon Farms now has a brewery. Their own brewery right there.
Get the fuck out of here. They should only make pumpkin flavored beer.
They throw candy corn in there and let it
go. Yeah.
It's sugar.
All the corn from the corn pit, the kids, diapers.
That's it.
This is episode number 437.
It's totally. The corn never goes away. The episode 437, to my left and your audio right.
Chris Smith.
To his left.
Steve Sleepy.
To his left.
Johnny Mac and Cheese.
To his left.
Dan Kropke.
And behind the bar tonight.
Tom Pennington.
As usual. We had street tacos tonight, thanks to Becky. Well done, Becky. Got all, oh God.
Yay, Becky.
So much good food.
I'd like to make a quick announcement. I was a little bit salty last week.
Yeah.
I do want to say, I said it after the podcast, but I want to say it on air. I do think Tom is an excellent mechanic and maybe better than me.
All right.
Did we talk
about that? Folks, write that down, folks.
It's volume, man. It's volume. Yeah. So one of the things
I just make this shit up as I go.
There you go. So I've had the benefit this week of riding about 16 different motorcycles. I mean, I did. I've been riding stuff out of my own garage. I've been riding customers' bikes aplenty, all kinds of bikes. Been riding a shit ton of bikes. And I cannot help but notice that all of the new motorcycles that people are excited about and talking about seem to be parallel twins. Mm-hmm. There's a big number of parallel twins happening right now. Everybody's liking some parallel twins, from the Africa twin to the V-Strom that used to be a V and now it's a parallel twin. Mm-hmm. The parallel twinning of the motorcycle culture is alive and well and happening right now.
You're right, because Yamaha has a whole bunch of motors. They have the mm-hmm. 7, the whatever, the adventure bike 7. That's a twin, parallel twin.
Well, because that's the baby Tenere.
The slider Tenere. Yeah. Yeah, there's so many parallel twins.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking about that. I was wondering, it's like, why the hell is that? And why are there not as many cross-plane four-cylinders as that used to be? Like, it used to be everything was a cross-plane four-cylinder. But the parallel twin is coming back into its fucking own. Now, the reason I bring that up in this podcast is tonight, Dan, tell the folks what you rode to the podcast.
77 Yamaha XS 400D.
Yeah, a D, which I think the D should stand for double discs. Because it does. It has a disc in the front and a disc in the back. When I left here tonight, the disc in the front was loud. I made sure to fix that.
Did you?
I did.
That's awesome.
Oh, I brake checked the son of a bitch out of that thing. I heated the squeal right out of that fucker. By the time I got it back, the front disc was silent. But I don't ever use too much rear brake. I'm not kind of a rear brake kind of fella. And then I used the rear brake coming in the driveway, and I found another squeal hiding in the back brake. I didn't get a chance to cook that one out.
See, I haven't noticed that one. The only squeal I got out of the back brake was when the tires skidded.
Oh, you see? Well, I may have chased your front brake squeal to the back brake. It might have happened. I'm sorry if I did. But it was so much fun. Now, who got to ride Dan's twin? Anybody? Chris did, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to ride it. Sleepy, did you ride it?
I did not.
I know John said he wanted to.
I stupidly did not. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll wait till I have some more beer, and then I'll ride there it after
you
go. The podcast.
So it's the most beautiful, you know.
It's a good beer bike.
Those bikes were burgundy. I would say more likely to call it a maroon.
Burgundy beer bike.
Burgundy beer bike. And they have a nice, tasteful gold stripe around the outline. They have alloy wheels. So that was kind of a kind of a power move.
You could open a place called B Moto 3 instead of BW.
BW 3, BM 3, a Burgundy beer bike.
I'm getting like 55 miles per gallon.
You already measured that. Yeah. Wow.
Second tank.
It definitely, and then I brought the G400C, not knowing that you were bringing the XS. So we had two 400s here at the exact same time. And that made for an interesting thing to ride both of those motorcycles and how different they were. So like how crazy different they are. Because your motorcycle will rev up to 8,000 RPM faster than the needle on the tachometer can keep up with it. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah. That tack is fucked.
That tack is lazy. That tack is like, oh, no, 4,000. Hold on, wait. Nope, 4,500.
We'll be there in a bit.
Wait a second. We're getting a message from the machine room. 4,900.
Yeah.
Hold on. This is just in by semaphore. 5,500. And meanwhile, the motor is like, yeet! And you're like, yeah, wait a second.
Oops, wait, he shifted again.
So it did.
Just
so
wait here.
Who actually looks at the tachometer when they're riding? I don't.
I don't. I don't at all. You're deaf. You should.
I can hear that bike just fine.
But it did. It did spool up real nice. So you've got that bike dialed in.
Yeah, really well. I had to pass both Dan Wigloos and Adam last night because they're both on loud Triumphs. So I'm like, I can't hear my bike.
I can't. I don't know when to shift because your bike is very quiet. It's very quiet. But it's a really, really nice bike, and you've got good new tires on it. It handles nice. I was very surprised at how good it felt for being a 1977, right? It's a 77. It's a really old bike, but God, it feels good. It feels really, really nice.
It feels exactly like what I remember.
Now, that's what's important. So tell the listeners why that's significant that you have this particular motorcycle.
This was my first motorcycle. Bought it from a close friend in 1980.
Wow.
And he rode that bike. Think about this. If you rode that bike, you know how it vibrates. Yeah. He rode that bike from Wisconsin to San Jose, California, and back with a duffel bag on his back.
And he
on his back.
On his back.
Oh, and he has not felt his hands from the elbows down since.
Probably not.
Yeah. It does transmit a lot
a little bit.
Yeah. It transmits a lot of cam right through the handlebars. Like that thing would benefit from rubber mounted bars.
They are rubber mounted.
They are rubber mounted?
Yeah.
That rubber's dried up.
I have a new set of rubbers for it.
Okay.
I haven't put them on the bike yet.
Yeah, because...
Make sure you don't break it.
Yeah. The handlebars are lower and wider than I would like on that bike. I'd like to have some small bikes like you have on your GS450. On Chris's Suzuki GS450, that bike came from the factory with really good bars. They're like a little bit narrower superbike bars. That style of a bike that people used to call a TT bar or a superbike bar. It's got a decent rise to it, and then it leaves your hands at a really good natural angle. Whereas your bars are almost like beach bars. They're really wide, and they're kind of pointing back.
Yeah.
So when you're riding it, your hands are kind of at an unnatural, like a screwdriver holding angle. So I think that would help a lot.
Now, those bars that are currently on the GS450...
Right.
Are not the original ones. No, those are the ones.
Those are the cafe racer bars.
Well, those are the ones that James put on.
Yep, exactly. But they're not that far off the originals. They're not too terribly off.
Yeah.
The a lot of motorcycles of that era, they still had big bars on them. Still had really, really wide bars on them. And you said that it has a tendency to shake its head at high speeds. And I wonder if that's an oscillation at the back of the motorcycle due to swing arm bushings that's finding its way to the headstock.
How many mileages does it have on it?
I just passed 5,000 miles today.
I would like to think they're all right, but
no, they're from 1977.
Are they bronze phosphor? Or
probably not. Yeah. They're probably bushings. They're probably some sort of a Zytel nylon-y kind of thing or something like that. I don't know, but... Many times when I have thought that I
had... What you do is heat it up with a torch and remelt them, and then they'll kind of find it.
I really have had a lot of motorcycles where I thought the motorcycle had a problem in the front end, and I've replaced everything in the front end. 100% of everything in the front end, and it still did the exact same thing. If you went light on the handlebars, anything over 70 miles an hour, it started to get away from you. And then to only find out that I had something in the back of the bike that was sloppy, and what was happening is my handlebars were trying to correct that. And so when the bike goes offline a little bit, that's when it starts that head shaker, so that death wobble. But those bars are definitely like, that's the only thing I would change about it, because it's really fantastic. It's a really cool bike. And this morning when I jumped on the G400C, after I've been riding the Triumph 1200 Scrambler and the Harley and other bikes all week, my first stop at the corner of my street on the G400C, I nearly blew that stop out into Lake Road, because I grabbed the front brakes like I was grabbing the brand new brakes on the Triumph Scrambler 1200, or the ginormous brakes, the Brembo brakes on the Harley. And instead what I had was China's finest brakes on the G400C. So I had about 75 feet of lever travel, and then very close to the bar, closer than I was happy with, I got braking energy. And I only have one brake rotor, and I have a fairly decent dual piston caliper. Dan has ein piston caliper, one-sided brake caliper. And I was joking when I was out riding it after I cooked the front brake in and bedded it in a little bit. I was like, I think this front brake in his bike is almost as powerful as the front brake on the G400C. But then I rode a little bit more and I was like, no, the G400C brakes are better. But it's just like, when I was riding the G400, I was wishing that the front brake was grabbing out where, you know, it should be. And being that it doesn't have an adjustable lever or anything like that, well, then it's just a matter of me bleeding it again or doing something to try and make that better, to see if I could get that front brake to be as grabby as I wanted it to be after riding motorcycles all week that have fantastically good brakes. And then riding the G400, I was like, ooh, I wish the front brake authority was a little better.
Yeah, but but back then, men were men. You didn't need, you know,
the G400C is a 2022, Steve.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying for his.
Oh, for his bike, yeah.
Yeah, you don't even need to improve them, because back then, they didn't stop. That's they barely pussies, stopped. Dude. That's,
yeah,
just hit the
they
gas
didn't stop. Mode. Yeah. But it's,
you just come sliding in sideways.
That's, and that's be right. Cool and make everybody pregnant. The
until you high slide in front of Tom's
just dodge
tent.
Shit. Don't stop. Just don't hit anything. So it's been a kind of a glory week for me to be able to ride a whole shit ton of different motorcycles. And that's fun. I love that. Those are my favorite weeks when I've got all kinds of weird different bikes to ride.
Well, you couldn't ask for much better weather.
It was perfect.
Cool and sunny. It's perfect. And compared to last week.
And I had all my gear on, so I felt safe, you know, like, and I'm riding around just enjoying bikes. I rode the W650 back from the Beachland at maximum chat, as fast as a W650 will go.
Is it running a lot better now that you put gas in it?
Yep. It does run way better with gas in it. And especially with gas from this century.
Yeah. There was a little shit talk when you know, on that one podcast, but then we realized some things. And so maybe you're a little happier with it now.
So nope. Phil, it's still bad. Does the brake light work on that bike?
On which bike?
Well, we talked
about the W650.
We figured out the problem.
And I noticed that we were riding to skid mark that night, and I completely forgot.
So what was happening was the right driver's peg, the driver's right peg, is on a leg that has a big fucking bolt in it, and the big fucking bolt was loose. So the big fucking bolt was loose. So the perch for the driver's peg was down and hitting the brake lever. So it was taking up the slop that would normally be taken up by the adjustment for the brake light, right? So normally you have like a quarter inch of play before the brake light snaps on.
Right.
And on most motorcycles, the brake light adjuster, the brake light switch adjuster, is right by this thing.
Yeah.
But it's not on this one. It's buried inside. So I couldn't just get to it and make a quick diddle on it. But I did notice, John noticed, in fact, when I'd pull up to the light, that my right driver's peg was moving up and down.
You took your foot off.
And the light went out.
And the light went out.
So as long as I rode with my foot off the peg,
right,
the brake light was off. But as soon as I put my foot on the peg hard, the brake light came on. Which is not the first time this week we've been befuddled by a brake light that we thought was off when in fact it was on all the time. So it turns out running lights aren't supposed to be that bright.
Right.
That's the brake light.
Right.
So I tightened everything up, went through the whole bike the way I should have, and fixed that stuff, no problem. The bike is still very unhappy. Carb clean, carb kit, all the above. But I did learn something that it will do, because that joke about, like, you don't need to tune a carburetor if you're just going to be a monkey dumping gas into the carburetor, you know, Fury Road style.
Right.
Well, I left, a road that I'm very familiar with. I'm sure it was a closed course. First gear, second gear, as high in the RPM range as I was willing to go on a Kawasaki WR650. 70 miles per hour in second gear. Oh. That's a golf clap.
Woof, yeah.
That's a golf clap. 70 miles an hour in second fucking gear on a bevel drive 650.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well done, Kawasaki. And it's a 23-year-old motorcycle. Oh. I was pretty happy with that. Pretty okay. So I got a little...
Five gears.
And riding it over to the beachland, on the way there, I was going like my normal like 80, 85 kind of speed. And it was fine. It was okay. It's not wide open throttle that it has any weird carburetor issues. It's all the things in between where the carburetor has to actually mix.
Yeah.
And all those things, it's giving you all the angry CV carb bitching, moaning, pissing.
Well, you know, those British carburetors were never well known for being good.
No, these are the Keyans that Triumph copied and put fuel injectors in the middle. The carburetors that are actually on the Kawasaki W650 are the carburetors that Triumph copied and just put fuel injectors in the middle of them. So their Triumph could look as much like a W650 as humanly possible. Fucking hell. At least on the new Triumphs, they made them look like AMOLs. So that's AMOLs with no hoses going into them. Is making them.
Next thing, they're going to print Lucas across all of the lights.
All the lights, exactly. Right. So the picture I have up on the screen. So there's a company that is doing these bikes. Now, this is not vaporware. This company is actually doing them. They're kind of sexy, aren't they?
Oh, dude, I love it. Look at the name. They included FZR.
Yes.
The Z.
Yes.
They have R for Honda. So they, right. What is it?
Yes.
ZFR.
It's a ZFR.
Which incorporates every bike from that
genre. It does.
Genre.
It's exactly right.
Yeah. Because
right.
when it comes off the line in China, it has little, like those stickers, the sticker letters you used to get at like Hobby Lobby and stuff.
Right.
That actually say ZFR-6 or 525 or whatever it is. But then they peel them back off down the line and they put the stuff that kind of looks like the Pizza Hut racing logo.
I think it's pretty funny that on the white one, the only sticker on there is CST, Changshin Tire, right? So it's like the sponsorship sticker is a Changshin Tire sticker.
On the blue one, I thought that was the Tractor Supply logo. But
I did too.
It says 525.
It says 525.
That would have been great.
I know. I love it. I love that bike though.
So this has the same swinging arm that you would see on a Honda GT650 Hawk.
Yeah.
That is very reminiscent. It's the Interceptors also have the same swing arm.
What kind of propulsion does this?
500cc parallel twin.
Huh.
So glad you asked. So Zeth's, whatever the fuck Zeth's is, again, started in 2016.
Danford, Zeth style.
It focuses on the premium segment, and it builds from 250cc to 1000cc motorcycles. Cruisers, naked bikes, whatever. We'll do a deep dive on that another time. But this particular bike is called the ZFR 525R Avenger. And I have to say, it's a fucking good-looking motorcycle.
It really is, man.
It's a really, really good-looking bike. I have, apparently what this is this is been reverse engineered from Honda's 471 parallel twin.
Huh.
Fair enough, right?
Yeah, but the fairing looks like Yamaha Sega Genesis.
Yes, it does. It looks fantastic.
But and Honda had some double headlights for a little while there too.
It did. Yep,
well, that's what I'm saying though. They're bringing them like, so every wet dream from like the late 80s, 90s, GSXRs, the Honda NSXs, the RC51s, the 900RRs, the ZX7s, all had the FZRs, all had the brown double headlights. And for some reason, the motor manufacturers are like, we're not doing it anymore. Right. But everybody I know is like, man, I would love to have a bike with double headlights. And boom, look.
Fucking beautiful, man.
Yeah, it's cool.
And single-sided swing arm on the back. Yay.
Mm. Right? Wait, that one headlight has an X over it.
Well, they both do. Because that's what you do to make your motorcycle faster.
Okay.
You put electrical tape on
it. But that looks like a cover because the one on the right doesn't have it. So well, I think they're showing you.
Yeah. I mean, I think these are, yeah. Anywho.
They look rendery.
They do look rendery, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, $5,500 to $6,800 doll hairs.
Huh.
That's a very reasonable price. As we have had to alter our once nationalistic stance against China, we are having to then look at the world in the way that a lot of our parents had to in 1966 regarding Yamaha and Honda and Kawasaki and Suzuki. And I'm certain that a bunch of guys were sitting around a table talking to each other with their Triumphs and their BSAs and their Nortons parked outside saying how, oh, this Honda CB450 is garbage.
I want to make a comment, but I'm not sure if I should.
You go right ahead, John.
But that was after the war we had with them.
I know. This is before the war we're having with them. Right. Yeah. So I do understand, like, I've had to alter my course on this a little bit because what our parents saw as being the eventual acceptance of the rising sun patch on somebody's jacket. Yeah. Because, I mean, I grew up in a time when they're literally
rice burner.
And there were patches on my uncle's jacket that said horrible things about Japan.
Jap crap.
That's right.
Well, yeah. I mean, to their credit, Japan spent money on R&D.
Do you think these guys aren't?
And the British, well, no. Yeah. I'm talking about at the time. The Japanese spent money on research and development and created actual motorcycles that weren't crap.
Yeah.
And the British spent money on tweed jackets.
Well, and we are post-war with China. Yes. I mean, we won the Cold War.
Yeah, I heard that. We have the trophy, right?
Right.
But, you know, we had this conversation in the shop earlier this week.
We got to keep Taiwan.
We talked about this because you were talking about... Well, we ended up talking about CF Moto, but it was about Benelli and about the other
QJ Motor and everything else, right?
But we were talking about CF Moto. And right. CF Moto to us, because we were around when the E-Charm and the Fashion were running around, and these were horrible bikes.
The CF Moto
and
V5 motorcycle.
Oh yeah.
Was
the Honda
garbage.
The Honda Helix motorcycle with a radio.
Yeah.
It and was the garbage. Plastics, you would look at them sideways and they would crack.
Garbage. Now, just trash.
You know, CF Moto had that lawsuit where they lost because they were counterfeiting EPA-approved fuel lines.
Yeah.
And so everybody, CF Moto just dried up and disappeared.
Right.
And then suddenly I turn around and CF Moto was creating side-by-sides and ATVs.
And KTMs.
KTMs. They've come back around. And now, I mean, the deputy at Advantage Motor Days had... A CF Moto ATV that looked just like a Rubicon.
It sure did. And she had to ride it every single day. And it was big as a house.
Yeah.
And that thing probably did an 8-hour shift every day.
And it went to work every morning and it did not break. And New Orleans had just bought two CF Moto side-by-sides because the Polaris were breaking down all the freaking time because it says Polaris on the side of it. And the closest guy to New Orleans that would fix it was an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
Well, other than me, but they wouldn't bring it back to me because I told them they were stupid.
Well,
these bikes are touching on something we talked about today.
Yeah.
The graphics and everything.
Yeah.
Like we were looking, we were talking about, you know, you look at Honda, you can get black or red.
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe white on all their bikes.
If you're like, lucky. Like, yeah.
Can you do a three color scheme? Right. Maybe?
They might come in
yellow.
How about
bringing back the Joe Camel or the.
Like, anything.
Or, you know, like a Repsol or, you know, you can't get any of that right now. And it's like. I like the way they make them sort of look like GP. You know,
but you know what?
Little graphics go a long way, and it doesn't cost anything.
I agree with
you. Or, like, have, you know, like six different colors, like a uranium gold, and, you know, I can get a gold wing in purple, you know, like they just
harvest gold.
That.
But you know what? They still messed
Seafoam
up.
Seafoam green.
So, like, I was really digging, and then you showed me the side.
Avocado.
Avocados, yeah. The harvest side gold look. And avocado, yeah.
So they got the front of the bikes looking vintage.
Yes,
like
they
a
did.
Beautiful vintage sport bike.
Right.
And then you get to the tail, and it's all angular and cut off.
Like, it needs a more bulbous tale to convince me to have, like, I guarantee you somebody on Alibaba will have a fucking replacement plastic. Okay.
These are already on Alibaba, so if you want 17 of them drop shipped to your house in a container, this is perfectly the way to go.
But you see the tail. That's how are you going to have this retro? It looks like somebody took a Kawasaki 636 and slapped a 1992 fairing on the front.
I agree with you. It does. The tail is far too modern. The passenger perch is far too modern. There should be less daylight. There should be less daylight between the tire and the back seat.
Yeah, man. Like it needs. It needs the ZX7 big fat ass or like the fucking the GSXR SRAD.
Yeah, that's right.
Fucking, you know, missiles launching silo.
Do you mean the part of the motorcycle where you could put your racing number?
Yeah, that part.
The part where you
actually
could put your racing number.
You get a big big blocky tail on that thing. Yeah. That thing would be perfect.
It would be perfect. You put a big stupid dump truck tail on it.
We had this conversation about the GS400C out in the driveway. Yep. When these show up, they're going to be cheapish. Well, I say cheap. They're going to be $4,000 or $5,000, depending on where they're at. And nobody is going to care,
right?
If you screw it up,
right? That's true. That's true.
You know, it's not. It's not a CBR F4i.
Well, you know, you may be onto something.
You guys, we haven't even talked about the fact that this is 48 horsepower.
Yeah,
this is not a lot of power. This is.
That's going to be a fun bike.
That's a respectable
bike.
Amount of horsepower out of a parallel
that
500.
That is anybody's first motorcycle.
Yeah. Dude, this would be a fun... Remember how we were talking about buddy racing?
Yeah.
This would be a great class for fucking like just weekend warrior bike racers, you know? You're only going to go 70 on a racetrack, 90 maybe on a straightaway.
Yeah. Well, guess who's not buying 200 mile per hour motorcycles anymore? Me?
Yeah, right.
Right. I've had my share.
Yep.
I'm not buying 200 mile an hour motorcycles anymore. I've walked away from that part of my life. I don't do that anymore. That's not something that I'm like, okay, I'm alive because I was going 192 on the way home today.
Right.
Right. I don't do that anymore. That's not something that I even fucking care about. I've managed to walk away from that part of my life pretty fucking convincingly.
But you do 70 miles an hour in second gear.
I do on a bike that shouldn't be doing it. Too on a 20 plus year old bike that's pretending to be 50 plus fucking years old.
Listen, so like I'm with you kind of in one way, but like I agree, like as fast as I can get to 105, I'm cool with. I just don't like to go over that anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like like my Z900, that bike will do 155 whatever now.
Yeah.
And but you know it's fun to go railing through the gears. You get about 110 and then LA off.
I've proved myself. That's fine. I'm okay. I don't need to have the cars in front of me coming at me any faster than they already are. That's it. That's cool.
Like I used to tell people all the time. They're like, oh, I've got to have a Hayabusa. Now this only makes sense in New Orleans. I used to tell people. I said, what the fuck is in Slidell that you really got to be there in 15 minutes for?
Right.
There ain't shit in Slidell.
It's hard to justify that. Yeah. And today at the shop, we had three Hayabusas go by the shop.
Yeah.
And they were rev limiter at every red light. They pulled up the red light and just... And they were all slammed. They were all extended swing arms. Yep. And that's a style. I get it.
Yeah.
And in order to be in that style, you have to have a Hayabusa. Right.
And in order to get that style, you have to reduce the horsepower and reduce the usability of the motorcycle by at least 30%.
It's even if they had... Even if the bike could go 225 or whatever, they're never doing that.
It's not a ZX14.
You know what?
You
know what I realized? I've had a lot of epiphanies this week. One of them, so you know how we were making fun of like the baggers with the 36-inch front wheels and like all these boosters and stuff? That's about as close as America has to Bozuzuko.
It is. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's impractical. It's stupid.
I swear I saw a bagger with a 48 on it. It had to be a 48. It was, oh my God.
Was the front wheel this high?
It was this.
There were some ridiculous tire sizes out there.
That's the biggest front wheel
will make
I've
a
ever
tire.
Seen.
Well, how did
Shinko
the
will make a tire as big as you want it?
Did it stick out?
I should have taken a picture. I was like, I got to take a picture. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. He'll think I like it a lot.
I don't want to send the wrong message.
Dude, your bike sucks, but I want a photo of it so I can laugh at it.
You know what? It did kind of look cool, you know. And
it's of a style. That's all.
It was wild.
It's of a certain style. Yeah, okay.
It's ass jewelry.
So I cannot leave that topic without sliding ever so gently into this topic because we talked about QJ Moto. Somebody said the word QJ Moto. That's fine. All right. So QJ Moto.
Hey, Phil, tell us about QJ Moto.
Yeah, we're going to tell you about this just because we had to bring it up. So QJ Motor, those guys, is doing an SRK 800RR. Now, this is cross-plane. This is a cross-the-frame.
That's the adventure bike's the 800, too. CF Moto has.
Would you think that they might be using the same motor in all their bikes?
Maybe so.
Wow. Mm. That's a novel fucking concept. You could have a sport bike. You could have... Because if you have a flexible motor that puts out a goodly amount of power, how you tune it can be an adventure bike. It could be a cruiser. It could be a sport bike.
Also, what gears you throw in the transmission. I'm sure this is much different.
Absolutely. Totally 100% true. So this is their 800 now. Their 800cc four-cylinder. This is an interesting thing. 102 horsepower.
Is it a four-cylinder?
It is. It is a four-cylinder. Okay. So, it, you know. But again, I did like... any of you guys seen the movie... Snatch?
Long time ago.
On the side of my pistol, it says Desert Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
0.50.
Yeah.
And on the side of your pistol, it says Replica. And this motorcycle, sure as shit, actually does say the word Replica on the side. It doesn't say Race Replica. It doesn't say RR. It literally, on the lower, on the middle fairing, it has the word Replica.
Well, I mean, that literally is a Kawasaki Ninja Woods. Yeah,
it sure looks like a ZX750, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it sure looks a lot like a ZX750.
I mean, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, right. But that's a Kawasaki Ninja.
It sure does look like a Kawasaki 750 replica, but with actual real Brembos and with actual real Ohlins. So here we go. So that's that. I just wanted to bring that up purely for fun, nothing for else, just for the hell of it. Just because we can, because that's the kind of thing we do here. We apparently kicked a hornet's nest last week, guys, saying something about this fucking bullshit buddy racing thing.
Oh,
this Iron Buddy 24.
That was 2 weeks ago because I missed last week.
Okay.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago. We had fun last week. You haven't dropped last week yet.
No. Okay. Yeah. So here we go.
Uh-oh.
Yes. We've had...
hate mail. I love hate mail.
There have been issues. There have been issues. People have opinions. People are chiming in at us.
Yay!
So they're yelling at us with their keyboards.
We love feedback.
We do.
Is it in all caps?
Nope, not this one.
Oh.
Okay. So this one is our friend Matt at Moto Hop.
Okay, yeah.
Matt at Moto Hop, yay. I've been meaning to send this for over a week. Oh,
I ate the all-dressed potato chips and never brought them to the podcast. They were so good. So good.
Those are delicious. I've been meaning to send this for over a week. I'm definitely interested in the buddy endurance race idea. I think it might be worth considering some kind of multiplier system, like the scooter cannonball, to even the field between fuel-injected and carburetor models. Maybe large versus small displacement, too. Although, I think the fuel delivery will make a larger difference than the engine displacement, depending on the size of the track. A 125 may go faster than a 50, but it would also burn more fuel to achieve that higher speed. So the speed advantage might be offset by needing to fuel more often. That's a very concise point. Anyways, I love the idea. I'll start hunting for a buddy this fall and winter. Episode 346, which is the one I snuck in today or yesterday. I love hearing about the realities of owning a motorcycle dealership, mainly because I want to open one eventually. Mm. I see the amount of smaller dealerships that exist around Cleveland and Columbus, and I'd like to think I can make one work in Akron one day. We'll see. Until then, Missy and I decided to start a podcast. What? Wait.
Poor fellas.
If you guys get bored and want to give it a listen, it's at Buzzsprout Motohop. MOTOHOP. Can't promise it's as good yet, but we'll get better. Thanks for existing and being awesome.
Just drink more. It gets better.
Matt and Missy from Motohop. Yay, guys. That's fucking cool. And that is cool because those are both super cool people that we love dearly. And if they want to start a podcast, one of our podcast listeners came into the shop the other day from, I'm going to get this right, Texas. That's a place.
Correct.
It's a country south of here.
Yep.
And
third world.
So he said he was doing a tour of all 10 provinces. So he had, he's traveling around and he decided he's going to go to all 10 provinces, but he had a couple of days to kill. And so he was in Cleveland. He was picking up his lady friend and they were going to go hit some restaurants and stuff like
that. Just one.
While they were in town, and he wanted to stop by Cleveland Moto because he's an avid listener. And he said, hey man, I got to tell you, I love the podcast. Love it to death. It's fantastic. I want a t-shirt, etc. But look, I want to share it with her. I've been listening to this thing while I'm in riding, the whole deal. I want to share it with her, but could you guys like cut out some of the swears?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, sure. Sure, man. We'll work on it.
Sleepy.
We'll work on it.
Sleepy.
We'll work on it.
Yeah, yeah. Sleepy.
I'm the worst?
No. What I was going to ask you is to make an edited version.
No.
To go through, and anytime anybody says something like fuck, you just push the button.
Sure. Yeah, that's so easy.
I used to do it for radio.
A PG-13.
PG-13?
It's so easy to install a cough button.
You know what? That could be a Patreon level.
I to get it without the swears.
Yeah, you know what? $100 a month and I'll do it. Because then I got to sit there and listen to
you. Literally have to listen to the whole thing again.
That could be a Patreon level.
That's why
wearing out that button.
Right. And that's why and that's the problem where I told the gentleman, I was like, "Look, man, we love you and we love that you're a listener."
He wants to share it with who? The daughter?
His lady friend.
I got it.
Is she over 18?
You were talking about using ChatGPT before and stuff, right?
Yeah,
and the thing?
Yeah.
We should have ChatGPT do a clean version of our podcast.
Oh.
Put it together for us. All right.
Yeah. No, this all is an idea. This is like
this would be interesting. That would be really interesting because it has all the archives.
We're on something here.
It'll be able to go and listen to 436 episodes of us.
Right.
And then it'll come up with a clean version of what it thinks. Oh, I think this would be really interesting. I am on this idea.
I think this is terrifying.
I think everybody else is like, oh no, AI bad. And we're all like, no, let's hammer down on this.
Yeah.
Let's let it do the work we don't want
to
do.
Right. We don't ever have to do another podcast.
Exactly.
That'd be awesome.
Tom says something stupid, then follows it up about BMWs.
Okay, Bard.
We need ChatGPT to finally get canceled.
Okay, Bard. Make me a 2.5-hour podcast about motorcycles, but keep it clean.
Yeah.
There will be 6 people speaking about motorcycles.
But you have to tell it to reference our thing.
Oh, yeah.
In the style of Cleveland Moto.
Actually, I wanted...
You know what? Let's let one of our podcast listeners do that. Let's let them see how that works out.
I don't want today.
Because I did 4 letters today. I wrote 4 letters as a test using Bard. 4 consumer-facing letters.
I'm not quite sure.
Were good.
I'm not quite sure how all that fell out, but I ended up with a margarita. So I really did end up with a margarita.
Right. Today at 3 o'clock, we had margaritas. Today at 3 o'clock, we had frozen margaritas.
Renee comes back and she's like, "We've got margaritas because of ChatGPT," and that's okay.
Yeah. It took less steps to get there than you'd think.
Right.
Yeah. The blender came out pretty fast. Yeah. Yeah. Challenge was thrown. Came out. We had margaritas right quick in a hurry. And they were good too. Those actually came out nice. Those were some of the better.
I can't get the ice to work like that anymore. Is that?
It's just our regular.
Just regular ice in the blender.
It's regular cube ice in the blender, but I work that power button in a very special way.
Okay.
Yeah. I spent a lot of years making frozen daiquiris. Yeah.
This works.
Yep. So that was pretty cool.
I worked the power button or two in special ways.
Hey,
bow chicka wow wow.
Hey, that's only true.
There's nothing not clean about
the Burger King Senorita.
I did the vertical burger. Yes, that's pretty good. So I got a kick out of that.
Look for the P.
The idea though that we've got a team of Canadians that wants to join our
Ian Wally listens?
No. I think they do, but I don't think they wanted to make the pilgrimage.
Nah.
But it is it's pretty funny that we are getting these folks that are like, "Oh, buddy spec class racing? That's something I think I need to do." And I did not think that was going to happen. So here it is. Our friend Scott Schaefer from Canada, he says, "If you guys can make a 24-hour buddy race happen, I've got 4 Canadian shitheads that are all in."
Oh, we're going to make this happen.
P.S. We can't buy buddies here, so if it's cool, I'll buy one from you. Scott from the Great White North.
Yes.
So that's another idea, too, is we should probably just have a few buddies that we kind of harvest over the course of the next year. Just have a few buddies.
We got some in storage.
Stand by.
We have starter buddies.
Right, starter buddies. That's exactly right. So Kevin Combs has been acquiring a lot of buddies down in Cincinnati, Kentucky.
Okay.
Kentucky.
I think they got PGO up there, though.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Because I think Jean-Paul Francois Scudart.
I wasn't against having any, like, you could even throw in Thing Poos and stuff. If there are right, one, right. If it's a GY6.
Yeah, okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah, that's pretty. That might open it up a little bit more. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. But I really, now I'm on this. Like, this is, now I forgot about it for a minute, but now I'm excited.
Does it absolutely have to be a buddy? That would be the one question.
Yeah.
You know, in my heart, I want to say yes. But I also understand to have enough competitors, we may have to open it up to other Fling Poos.
Okay, so if you show up with a TNG Milano, you're in.
Honestly, I feel pretty confident about my buddy.
You know, so, and I thought about what you had said when we did have this conversation about like having stuff built and everything.
Right.
If you're going for 24 hours, you know, the attrition of running a built motor that hard is probably not going to be an advantage compared to a stock one. So, like, if they really wanted to, it's great, but you'll probably DNF.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah.
Guys, I have to call your attention to something that actually happened, and I don't know if I can believe this or if I'm being scammed. We have a new Patreon at the $5 level.
Okay.
And her name is Hannah.
Zoinks?
Yeah. I think this might be our first ever female patron.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. This is going to throw the
dem- we have something special for her?
I think Renee's stuff in her box is going to get a little different.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yikes that's, is right.
Can you scissor a box?
You're going to scare her off. Stop.
Sorry.
Just going to say it because it has to be said.
You mean we had a...
We got $5 out of her, John, and then she was gone.
Yeah, for 12 minutes we had.
You scared her off. You scared her off.
Had her for two episodes, goddammit.
She had to cut the top of the box.
Again.
You guys' heads are in the gutters.
No, nothing. Hannah. Right now, she's Hannah Macklin. We know that much.
Johnny Mac, basically.
Where's she
from?
If you can...
I know some math.
She didn't fill out a credit application. No, she not, gave us $5.
She's not buying
and a then give said, us money. We don't ask questions.
And then said,
yeah, it's true.
There you go, boys.
She's not buying a Bieber. She's not filling out a credit app.
She did not include any personal data. Well, and I wouldn't either.
As usual, thank you very much, Hannah.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate our podcast, our Patreon listeners out there.
Yeah.
Love to have you. Hope you're enjoying the podcast.
And we got one for the Hoff.
Oh, okay.
Because I know he hates being called the Hoff.
He almost came to the podcast that we didn't have yesterday.
Okay.
That was a
the
good
podcast we didn't have yesterday. He was planning on coming to the Thursday night podcast.
Right.
But Friday night's date night, so you can't fuck that up. Yeah. Still date
night.
So
do we have an update on the Hofferoo?
Oh, yeah. He's doing real good. I mean, up walking with a cane, but... very mobile. Probably going to start back to work real soon here.
The cane might be just the accessory he needs.
Yeah.
It needs to have a sword or
I was about
sword
to say, you know that that thing has a sword,
you know
a pistol,
a,
no.
a GPS tracking above. Device. Yeah,
a flask.
A sword, though.
In true Hofford fashion, I think he got it at a garage sale.
Yeah. And it was like already a sword
it's
cane.
It's like a rose gold grandma's one or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got a pimp not, cane. It's got a snake
it's,
with fucking it's eyes.
Nearly pimp cane
it's rose gold. It is straight from grandma's garage sale.
Yeah, he needs more cane action.
He needs. And so our other... our other new patron is named Travis Hoff.
Oh.
So we have another Hoff.
Nice.
So we have Travis Hoff. So thank you, Travis Hoff, for joining at the $5 level. That's badass.
That name, man, it sounds like an announcer would be like, ladies and gentlemen, Travis Hoff.
Right. Like, it's one of those very short names where it's like, you know, nobody's like, and tonight's announcer will be T. Phineas Finkelstein.
Right,
Esquire.
Just make sure you don't hassle him.
You know what? You know what? That is worth the $5 right there, just having Sleepy go, and now the Hoff.
And now because we present the Hoff.
That's not the ringtone.
That is, it's perfect. But I did get a kick out of that, and I got to say, the Patreon stuff helps us. We don't budget anything at this podcast. We don't have an accountant. We don't have anybody helping us. But there are a couple of times a year where we have to throw down money. And it's nice when we have to throw down money to have some money to throw down. I understand podcasts like, you know, Liza has an understanding of how much money they have and they can budget it out for this, that, or the other thing.
We just spend it on booze.
We just spend it on Mid-Ohio and other things. We're just like,
but,
okay.
But that being said, what we're doing. Is there a person alive that can't say that we're not generous if you come to the tent or to anywhere?
If you show up, you're going to get screwed, blued, and tattooed.
But yeah, right.
That's goes without saying. I'm like very happy about that.
We're going to do a banquet hall next year at Mid-Ohio.
You already did last year. That's
a bad idea. That is a really, really good idea.
I knew something was up when him and Becky came down. They handed out menus for the week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's game on.
Would you like the fish or the chicken?
And now next year, she said she was going to hip us a little bit of the theme beforehand so we could dress appropriately on the different nights.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, because they're going to be like Hawaiian night, and there's going to be something else.
Italian night?
Yeah. White night.
Yeah, right.
That's fantastic.
Oh, no. We're going to get like three.
That's fantastic.
Three or four more of the summit tents, and we're going to like
three or four more of the summit tents.
It's going to be the whole corner. They're going to be there doing burnouts. We're like, yes, yes, very good.
We're going to have an indoor skating ring in there. Yeah.
The summit compound.
Yeah. The summit compound. We're going to have to change it from the FEMA camp to the summit FEMA camp.
There's going to be gold or what do you call it? Red ropes and shit on the corners. Yeah.
There's going to be a line up front.
I've always wished we could figure out
a doorman.
Valet parking? Dude, valet parking of your mini bike. That's
honestly, I will say,
this valet parking is side by
Kentucky, size. The Kentucky corner did have the F-350 with the tarpaulin inside made into the ghetto hot tub. And that worked pretty good. Andrew looked like he was enjoying himself, the captain. He looked like he was enjoying himself thoroughly when they went past our camp, the FEMA camp. And I was like, man, that guy deserves that. That dude works hard all weekend. He deserves a little trip in the hot tub or a little in the cold tub, whatever it is.
And knowing him, he was probably peeing the whole time, too.
He deserves it, too. Again.
You know, as many free hot tubs as there are floating around and as many free generators that I can... Well, we got a Honda generator. I can make a hot tub work.
That's not the problem.
The problem is getting 2,700 pounds of water for a small hot tub. Pints a pound the world around, Tom. If we did that...
My small hot tub is 300-some gallons.
I was going to say, that's a small hot tub. Yeah.
So you'd have to order a water delivery.
I know somebody
delivery.
That works in trucks. Yeah. We might be able to get a water
Six
truck.
55-gallon barrels. If you can haul a 55-gallon barrel, go fill it up, bring it over six times.
Okay.
I got the quadrotor.
So if you're out there in Patreon land and you're showing up next year in Mid-Ohio.
Small hot tub. I do like the idea better, though, of doing a heavy duty ground cover.
Yeah. The other thing I thought was trash pumping it right out of the creek that runs by.
Suddenly it's band camp again.
Into a pool.
I predict that even if you had a dually, like an F-350 dually, 8-foot box with a heavy duty ground cover, the black contractor sheeting, the heavy duty shit, put that in there. You take it over to the service center and fill it where I filled up the RV and stuff. It'll take you a minute. Run four hoses. You got to get that water all the way from there to our fucking campsite. Exactly. And anybody who's ever tried to drive with a bowl of soup in their lap will know that you can't.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like, honey, just hold on to this. I'll drive super careful. Mm. No, you're going to get yelled at. There's going to be hot soup in the car.
You end up with four quarts by the time you get back.
It's fucking ridiculous. It's exactly right.
Yeah, with no baffles, it's going to start swinging back and forth.
Yeah,
they'll probably throw your whole truck around.
No, you got to have four or five people in there to act as baffles.
We still got a couple engineers. We'll figure this out.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
But we'll start with a banquet.
Let's start with what we can handle first. Feeding people.
Feeding people.
Right. We're good. Okay. So Barber. We're getting ready for Barber.
Correct. This is where we're supposed to be headed.
Barber. So Barber's the 18th annual. It's just a baby. It's not even old enough to drink yet.
Camping sold out. I didn't get any, so
we're gonna have to make it work. We're gonna have to make it work.
After you sent me those rules and everything, you got me.
It seems very messy.
Wait, yes. I think I know what you're talking about. Yes,
and I don't own golf shirts.
Yes.
No, how much? I saw something that said about walking. I'm like, oh, our guests really enjoy walking. I don't really enjoy walking
well,
a lot.
Okay, they actually have a tram that will take you around the whole place.
Oh, they mentioned the tram. Ooh, the tram a lot.
And they talk a lot about no overnight parking. Unless you have a camp spot.
That does get a little bit tricky because there are a couple of different parking spots. Now, Super Secret Squirrel, the parking for, and I have an e-pass in my element still, mm-hmm. but I think it changes every couple of years, so it doesn't matter. Directly behind the swap meet. If you're a swap meet vendor, once they clear out the parking, you can Super Secret Squirrel park there. Yeah, there's the map.
You have that.
Which I've camped in there, especially the years that it got super rainy. But they have a lot of rule. They have a lot of CYA.
Right. I think there's a lot of that.
And a lot of that comes across as you can't do, you must not do, you will not do. And then the reality is that a lot of that goes out the window because they just don't have the manpower.
At the registration building, you'll be issued your packets that will include your armband. Vouchers and vehicle parking passes. This packet will be handed only to the person whose name is on the registration. You will be then responsible to make sure your entire team, helpers, receive their credentials.
You must have your armband.
Each armband recipient must sign a waiver.
Clink.
This armband must be worn all weekend. Return your vehicle in the staging lanes until your lane is called. Step directly into the showers. I don't know.
You know, the first checkpoint, they'll be like, your peppers, please. And Slippy will be like, I only have a pipe, man.
Yeah, papers aren't cool anymore, yeah. Man.
I just use cones. They're easier.
Haben Sie Ausweis, bitte? So I don't. There's funny things, though. Here's this. This first one is, what do we do at AMA Vintage Days? We try to get in early.
Right.
We fight and break rules and leave Sleepy naked in the field to get in early.
Yep.
In this one, they tell you, do not get here after Thursday. They specifically say,
"Oh,
we're going to let you onto the grounds on Wednesday."
Yep.
Your build-in is on Thursday.
Yep.
Do not plan on building your booth on Friday.
Well, they really don't want you traveling because the aisles get fucking wild. Like
all
they,
vendors,
there is no way to get down those tiny ass little aisles.
All vendors must be in their spaces no later than Thursday at 6 p.m. That is the opposite of us trying to get into Mid Ohio early.
Yep, right.
Oh my God.
I made the mistake.
Yeah.
I got there late because I was driving the truck. Yeah. And I had the 37 foot long contractor trailer full of motorcycles. And I got there at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And of course, Dave shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, all right, follow me. I follow him in. And then I make the wrong turn.
Right.
Because I'm stupid. I haven't done this a whole lot.
Right. Fair enough.
And of course, one of the volunteers begins screaming at me exactly in the
Did
voice
you get there at Tuesday, or I'm sorry, Friday at 2 a.m., which would be Thursday really late at night?
It was Thursday.
At 2 a.m.
So it was Thursday, like really stupid late.
Okay.
And, you know, of course I get yelled at.
Right.
Of course, okay. I am just freaked out because I'm driving a truck.
Because it specifically says if you arrive after 6 p.m.
Oh, yeah. No bueno.
You will not be allowed to move into your swap meet space.
Hmm. Now, it's a lot of this is sentence. A lot of this is, like I said, a CYA.
I can tell.
And a lot of this literally comes down to
it's giving them power.
Right. Mm. But the reality is there's three people that run this whole swap meet show.
And make friends with those three people.
Yeah,
make friends
with the guys. I don't give a shit.
Right.
But like I got into this weird screaming match with a guy at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, dude, I can't back this trailer up because I don't know how to drive it forward.
then I learned a thing that I was not aware of. Due to the ever-changing tax laws, the city of Birmingham, along with the county and state, are now requiring sales tax to be collected. Your tax envelopes will be in your packet that you pick up at registration. You will be asked to submit sales taxes before leaving the event. It is your responsibility to turn in your tax envelopes at or near the designated area. You know, like the trash can that's right next to the designated area.
Yeah. The entire time.
How are they going to monitor how much you sold?
They don't.
Yeah, so you say, all right, here's $18.32 in tax.
This is a gift.
No, I give them nothing because I lost money on everything.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, if I sell a Moto Guzzi seat at this event, I paid $200 for that Moto Guzzi seat, I'll be lucky to get $60 for it. I'm demanding recompensation, some recompense.
Yeah. You know, you should.
Good luck on that one.
Right.
Submit exactly a negative tax.
Right. That's my point.
See if they'll pay you money.
Yes. It's like when you buy shit in Germany.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Now, like I said, the entire time I've been, because we bought, showing my hand, we bought this space was bought from Jen and Stan.
Okay.
Back when they used to do this.
Jesus Christ, it's a legacy booth.
Exactly. Right. It really is.
It's a legacy booth.
And, you know, this was the whole thing, because this is like right after Stan started working for Volkswagen. So it has been a while.
By the way, tax rate, guys, if you're working in the booth and you sell anything, it's 10%. So
does
when
that
you
cover
when you haggle it coin? When you haggle it does according right. to this it says tax collected will be at a rate of 10% divided between the city, the county, and the state. So just letting you know, when somebody haggles you down to $5 for that taillight lens,
50 cents,
that's $5.50.
Yeah,
yep. The tax man's got to get
tax.
Oh my God. Okay, fair enough. shocking. So that's a thing. That's the thing.
Where is this?
I wasn't expecting tax, but anyhow, it does look like now there are plenty of things like your swap meet passes get you access to all the cool shit like the museum and everything else. That's fucking fantastic.
Yep.
But your camping passes do not.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's true. So you still got to pay for that if you do a camping pass, right?
Mm.
But I think that this is going to be this is going to be one for the books. I can appreciate that they sent me this 9-page packet or 10-page packet, and that it is, like Tom says, there's a hell of a lot to cover your ass in.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Hell of a lot of that. So there are some rules. No jumping of fences. No glass containers are allowed on the property at any time. Spectators are not allowed to rope off any areas, and scaffolding is prohibited. Well, that makes good sense. Posted speed limits must be obeyed at all times. Hot pits is 5 miles per hour, and it's 15 miles per hour standard speed limit on the entire Barber Motorsports Park.
And if you can do 15 miles an hour, I'll be shocked.
There you go. Yep. Yeah. So like, that's the thing. As part of AMA Vintage Days, is you just go out in the field and let it rip.
Oh yeah.
You're just fucking. Yeah,
no, you're gonna be stuck. Either gonna have.
I'm gonna go out between turn 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and just gonna let it rip out there and just go real fast. No, not here. No fireworks, firearms, or weapons are allowed on facility grounds. No unlawful activities.
That's pretty nebulous.
It doesn't actually say no bourbon fairies, but I think that slides into that one.
Oh, wow.
Minors are not allowed to operate bicycles at any time anywhere in the park. Well, what about other surface employees? Why is it just minors?
You know, I asked you earlier about motorcycles by moonlight.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, who's going to be the Grand Marshal this year?
Yeah.
And I just looked it up.
Who is it?
Fuji Yoshimura.
Is it really Fuji Yoshimura?
Oh, yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Is. $200.
Fuji Yoshimura is the fucking... Oh, that's badass.
$200, you can have dinner with Pops.
Not Pops. Junior. Pops is dead.
That says Hideo Pop.
I think that's Junior.
That's Junior.
Pops would have to be 100 right now.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's Junior. But still, for $200, you can have fucking dinner with Yoshimura.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't think that's too bad. That's not too bad at all. There's a lot of good stuff. A lot of information in here.
Okay, yeah, no, it's just through he learned through his dad, too. But no, this is something
that's
else.
That's cool. That's pretty badass. No unmuffled engines may be started before 7 a.m. or after 8 p.m. Let's see here. Although these are for participants. We should be more careful about that. I'm reading ahead of myself. Swap meet rules. Okay, here we got swap meet rules. Let's see. Swap meet spaces shall be used for sale of product, not used solely as camping or parking spaces. The space must be used for vending during open swap meet hours. It is, you can camp in your swap meet spot, outside of the hours of 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Merchandise for sale in the swap meet must be a minimum of 80% motorcycle, automotive, or transportation related. So you're not allowed to have wall of bongs. Okay. All vehicles must be contained within the space. That's not shocking.
If they're motorcycle related or motorsports related bongs,
yep.
You can have
no
all
food
the
or beverage sales.
Want.
You're not allowed to sell that. No selling of counterfeit products of any kind. Well, I can't bring the Stella then. Oh fuck!
Well, this brings to mind.
Man.
Well, Jill and Fire Jay's entire booth, half of which is replicas of original art.
Is it really
patches?
There you go. Yeah.
That's the big question because they're not. Yeah. You know, I'm sure he will go into a dissertation as to how they're legal.
I know. No selling of or displaying of offensive or pornographic materials. Let's see here.
So every Harley is now illegal.
I'm easily offended.
Yes. Vehicles used for restocking may be brought in with a vehicle pass between 6 and 7 a.m. Who's awake at 6 and 7 a.m.?
These old guys.
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay, here's the John rule.
I was awake at 6 a.m. this morning.
At Vintage Days?
No, this morning.
Oh, okay. All right. Hauling merchandise. Transportation on grounds. No vendor vehicles will be allowed to enter or exit the swap meet grounds between 7:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Friday and Saturday. A free parts shuttle is provided to take parts and motorcycles to customer vehicles on or off site. They got a fucking shuttle to take your bullshit to your car?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, this is...
Oh my!
This is.
Do they give me a little beacon, like a little thing I can wear that I can press the button and the shuttle shows up? That's amazing.
The shuttle stops like the shuttle itself stops like right at the front of the swap meet.
Okay, here's the first one. No subleasing of space.
Well,
break that one right off the bat. Right. Yep. You can only transfer a space with the permission of the BVMM.
Yeah. All right. We've gotten the good graces from them in the past. So.
So here we go. All personal vehicles must be street legal, licensed, insured, and operated by a licensed driver. Spectators are not permitted the use of four-wheelers, dirt bikes, motorized mules, or other unlicensed motorbikes of any type. No powered or motorized vehicles of any type may be operated within the swap meet areas. Vehicle usage is subject to the judgment of BVMM and its representatives. So, quiet hours for the swap meet are 10 a.m. until 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Generators are only permitted if they do not pose a fire safety hazard and are not too loud.
So, no taco truck generators, please.
Right. Generators causing excessive noise or fumes are strictly prohibited. Generators that vent exhaust fumes directly into adjoining vendor spaces are strictly forbidden.
That's the Fire J rule.
There you go. All right. Vendors will be charged $75 for removal of excessive trash that is not properly bagged. What? I can't just leave shit for the Jawas? That's bullshit. Come on.
Which is funny because usually by the end of the day on Sunday, the trash cans are so like they do a really good job of keeping the trash cans cleaned.
Okay.
But by the end of the day on Sunday, when everybody's leaving, they are just overflowing into the street.
There you go.
So,
all right. So there you go. Barber Motorsports Park has adopted a one warning policy. That means you will be asked one time to refrain from a particular behavior.
Yep.
If behavior continues, you will be escorted from the property by the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department.
Yep.
If ejected, you will forfeit your vending space for the remainder of the event and your space will not be renewed. All right. There you go. So that's the story, guys. Dun 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 dun. Your mission, should you choose to accept it. And only the needle should be changed to protect the record. I don't think that this turns me off as much as I thought it would. I still want to do it. I want to do it because I want to do Barber. I want to do Barber Vintage Days at Barber.
It has never, as strict as that sounds, it has never, like, I have gotten yelled at once, and that was because I did something stupid on the grounds that Dave told me I should do it.
Right.
And I had an anxiety attack because that's what I did. And it didn't end well, but I did not get kicked out.
There you go. But I did not get kicked out.
I did not get of all the times and of all the like Fire Jay and I raced bikes around the Porsche testing track at midnight.
Yeah. That's,
and still never got kicked out.
That's pushing the limit.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, get you kicked out at Summit Point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right.
We have blown the track on old Vespas and not had a problem.
All right. That's
go
cool.
For it. Go for it.
Go for it, baby. Go for it.
Remember Track? He was a good guy, Track.
On the track.
Track.
That Track.
You went to college with him, didn't you? Track was a big boy, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We called him Big Track.
Big Track.
He just run around the living room. Yeah. If you got that joke, I'm sorry. So that's something. So I'm all for it.
I can go because I didn't get camping. So yeah. If I don't have camping, then where would I put my car? Because unless you're camping, there's no overnight parking on the premises. And then I guess you'd have to camp off, leave your car off the premises. No, I just don't.
And then try to find parking every day. I don't know. Yeah.
And I asked a couple people who, if they wanted to go with me, and nobody committed. So that's why I didn't buy camping.
Well, there's the hotel's down the bottom of the hill, which is usually where the check-in is. They have a huge parking lot down there that's off-site, and they run a shuttle from that parking lot up the hill. The problem you've just stated, though, is that you don't have anywhere to camp, and
overnight parking seem to be difficult.
Like, it's tricky.
There are parking spaces, but they say you're not allowed to leave a car there overnight.
Because technically, we weren't supposed to leave our cars, and E is swap meet vendors, but the guys
specifically
even told
say
us,
E is no overnight parking.
And swap meet vendors get a little bit of gimme on that one. So, but like I said, they always change. They change everything every year.
I almost like the idea of just going down some other weekend and just going and see the museum, because that's really all I care to see.
Mm-hmm.
The swap meet, especially if I have to walk it, is not interesting at all to me. And I'm not, because I'm not going there to sell anything.
What's the dates on it again, Tom?
October. Yeah.
All right. All right.
Because it's the week after I was talking about going back to New Orleans, but now the whole truck thing has been throwing me in a limbo. So.
Okay.
I have relatives down in, Peggy's niece is in, where are they in? They're in Alabama, so about an hour from Birmingham.
All right.
So I might just take a trip and we'll visit them and we'll go see the museum and come home.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I say this now because it's not any risk because nobody's going to get in front of it. I know it's hilarious. It's an impossibility to even suggest it, but I am going to check the local hotels just to see, because it would not be out of the scope of Cleveland Moto to get a 2-queen bedroom and just have that as a base camp, right? For anybody who needs anything, whatever that might be.
The Hampton Inn, which is the very entrance of the park.
Yeah, that's the one that's literally nearly on the ground.
Well, that's where they
Sleepy, are you going?
It depends on what day, I guess. Depends on what day you guys are leaving. My wife has a trip that week and doesn't get back till the day I'd probably have to leave or something. Mm-hmm.
Well, figure it out.
There you go.
Because I wouldn't drive myself 10 hours probably just by myself back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Without a co-pilot.
That hotel is sold out, but the Hampton, it's in Birmingham, which is 5 miles away.
Yeah,
we'll talk.
That one has rooms, so that's pretty cool.
I suppose you just you could go check it all out and then be like, we're fucking. I don't know what time they kick you off the property, but you wouldn't. I guess you could park in parking lot
they
E.
They really don't.
I think you're only allowed to be in parking lot E till 5 o'clock or something like that.
That's kind of the thing, is they really don't kick you off the property. You just, you could basically just drive around all night.
Well, I'm sure you can be there, but your car is going to be
somewhere. Your car is the problem. But like I said, depending on how they do the parking.
But if we have street legal motorcycles, we ride those from, you park your car at the hotel.
Exactly.
Right.
Ride your bike to the thing, and then you're good.
Because they're not going to run. If you're hanging out at the swap meet and crash in the Easy Up, they're really not going to care.
I think you're right.
And so you could ride a TNT 135, right? Street legal plate.
Long as it's got a plate.
License,
right.
All
right. Yeah. I found the other Hampton, that's literally 5 miles away. They've got rooms.
Oh yeah.
So we could set up a base camp 5 miles away if we had to.
Yeah, and if we're on actual bikes that you can ride.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, fucking, there you go. All right.
Yeah. So, you're not sleeping at the So you're not sleeping in the campsite.
Right.
You know? Anyway, but we also don't know because we ain't never done it.
Right.
So if we get there and everything's laissez-faire, and, you know, and the van's allowed to be there, the trailer's allowed to, you know, Dan Kroenke's trailer's allowed to be there. Well, there's a bunkhouse.
Well, they're not.
It's an abode.
Right.
They're not.
It looks like you're allowed to have one tow vehicle on your campsite or vending site.
Well, they're not very stringent about trailer storage at the trailer lot. So that's open. I don't know about camping. Like, I don't know if somebody's going to walk through and go, hey, somebody's sleeping in this.
Right, right. Exactly. You know, right. Are people sleeping in the trailer
lot? Because I've never slept in the trailer lot. I always sleep in the swap meet spot.
There are $130.
There you go. Good point.
There are still motorhome, and they're like, I think, 20 by 40 spots.
Oh, yeah?
But I think you're only allowed to have like one vehicle on there. That's why I don't understand. I mean, I don't know why you're paying for a 20 by 40 spot, so who cares what you have on there?
Right. And if your motorhome is a 12-passenger van and a 23-foot-long trailer, well, there's your motorhome, right? You got power. You got water. Have at it. I don't know. I don't think it's a problem. I mean,
see, that's the thing is, I've always
if you tried to put eight cars,
I could buy a motorhome spot and then just camp on it with my car and a tent.
Of course, you could.
I mean,
that's national park rules. National park rules would be when you have a motorhome spot, you can have the motorhome or the truck and the trailer, and then one visiting vehicle, and then they usually will have a visiting vehicle's parking lot that is like, you know, 200 feet away, where people who are visiting can park their cars and walk over to your campsite.
What I read is you're allowed one tow vehicle on your campsite.
So one tow vehicle and a camper.
That's it.
Okay. Well, that's that's two things. Yep. So it's like a van and a trailer would qualify.
Yes, Dean, van and a trailer is fine.
Van and trailer qualifies.
Dean might have better insight on this, actually.
Yeah, right.
Because I have always been in the swap meet, and it's usually just get in the van and shut up.
I would assume that, like everything else I've ever been to in the world, Burning Man, Wasteland Weekend, Renfest and Renfairs and that kind of bullshit, that generally speaking is like, okay, it's 10 o'clock at night. We're going to go hang over with these guys that got a little, you know, portable metal fire pit going.
Yeah.
And we're going to sit around in a circle and drink beers and talk shit.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Security comes by twice. Hey, are you guys all cool here? Yeah, we're all cool here. Great. Cool. Well,
like I said, as long as you don't draw attention to yourself, you're fine.
Yeah. 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 If you're not part of the problem.
Quality Inn looks like the closest place.
You know,
actually,
I just said yesterday I wanted to start becoming part of the problem and not part of the solution.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what it's about. I'm excited to have the new experience. For us, what I think is kind of a funny thing is for us to do this, you know, for us to go to this event, it's not around the corner. It's quite a hike. And when you do think about that, pulling a trailer with a 20-year-old van across America,
about 10 hours, right?
Yeah, about if you're clicking right along, you know, and that's,
throw a couple of pee breaks in there, you're probably at 12.
all right, I'm gonna ruin it for especially Johnny Mac here.
Yeah.
All right, the best part about it, and the thing that probably will entice him to go, the world's biggest Buc-ee's. Now, I might be wrong. Now,
what,
the world's biggest Buc-ee's is outside of the gate of Barber Motorsports.
Oh. Now, wait a second. You didn't say it had the world's biggest Buc-ee's outside of the gate.
Yep.
Because you'll know that at every Buc-ee's in America, you can camp for free.
Huh.
It's true.
I didn't see that? I didn't.
Just like Walmart. Yeah, well, they specifically say you're not allowed to.
Now I've listed this among our assets.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to have to fight for the camping space that weekend, though.
Ah.
But no, there is a Buc-ee's that they built exclusively outside of the gate. And see, there's also a Bass Pro Shop next door, which I think has the same kind of situation. And that Bass Pro Shop is huge.
Ah, okay.
So again, these are assets I didn't realize that, you know, you might be able to camp in a parking spot of.
However, Buc-ee's does say you're allowed to sleep overnight,
okay,
but just one night. Then you have to move.
Just change the license plate.
Just move. Buc-ee's is literally the size of a fucking city, man. Yep. You just move. You move from the Buc-ee's that's in Sevier County to the other part of the parking lot that's in Logan County.
Yep,
over the tracks.
Exactly. Move to the other side of the Buc-ee's airport. Get on the other side of the Buc-ee's airport. You'll be fine.
The tram runs by for 15
tram
minutes.
Must buy Buc-ee.
When I was in Tennessee a week and a half ago,
downtown Buc-ee City Center.
Yeah, but so near Pigeon Forge where we were, the Buc-ee's has opened. So next year when we go on our trip, or this next spring,
we're getting bucked up.
Bucked up.
that's the other thing. I think there's at least three Buc-ee's Buc-ee's stops between here and Birmingham.
Wow.
That makes it worth it.
Yeah, that does kind of make it worth it.
Let's go from Buc-ee's to Buc-ee's to Buc-ee's.
John's going.
3 hours, Buc-ee's. 3 hours, Buc-ee's.
There's one just south of what? Lexington or Louisville? I can never remember.
And
now.
John, at the last one, you pick up your hot tub.
No.
it's shaped like a giant beaver.
Man, that is not kidding. The Buc-ee's, Leeds, Alabama Buc-ee's, might as well be on site.
Oh, yeah.
It might as well be on the fucking property, man.
It is literally on the Bass Pro Shop, yeah.
No, wait, is Buc-ee a beaver or a badger?
He's a beaver.
Beaver.
Buc-ee beaver.
Buc-ee beaver.
Badger. Yeah.
That's just wrong.
He's got buck teeth.
They're leaning into it, too, because there's big billboards now that said, like, it's a beaver, and it said,
oh, really? In case you didn't know. A nine-year-old?
Yeah.
It's like, we don't have any nine-year-olds in our life.
I do love the people that intentionally mispronounce it. Bucy's.
Bucy's.
That's my favorite.
I just think it's funny that it's Buck, B-U-C.
Oh, yeah.
Hyphen E-E-S.
Yeah.
Buc-ee's. For years driving into Texas, you would see the sign and you're like, what is so fabulous about this gas station that's 180 miles away?
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's on this march to take over the world.
Yeah, because
it literally was just one gas station outside San Antonio.
I have no idea.
And now I still think it's exploded.
Well, no, didn't John? We looked it up. Remember? Because I was going to be sad if it was just like a corporate think tank that came up with this big idea and just hit the world.
Dave Thomas.
Yeah,
there is a Dave Thomas.
Yeah, there's a dude.
Yeah, no, there's one guy.
Really?
Yeah,
that's kind of.
Yeah, so it's a better story. All like. Right. I was seriously sad because I enjoyed our experience so much that I didn't want the story to end with like a corporate thing. And we looked it up and we were hugging at one point. We're like,
really?
This is so much better than...
Yeah. Really?
I feel like part of the Buc-ee's family.
You do feel like part of the Buc-ee's family. I feel like part of the Dave Thomas family.
It is because you keep wearing that costume.
Yeah, it is that.
That's true too. Yeah, he shows up in that costume. He gets 10% off everything.
Yep.
It's like showing up at Melt with a grilled cheese tattoo. Yeah, you're gonna get a free sandwich or half off your bill.
Wait. This side?
Do you have one?
Wait, somewhere.
You get a grilled cheese?
I do somewhere. Hold on.
He's the goddamn illustrated man. He doesn't know where his macaroni and cheese tattoo is.
Side. It's on this side, right? Isn't it like back here? Is there a cheeseburger skulls and?
Bone? I have no. I can't tell.
Oh my god.
I don't fucking.
There's a local restaurant here in Cleveland that if you get a grilled cheese sandwich tattooed on your body.
Tattoos.
Oh my god. Yeah, sure enough. So,
Wait, is it?
Yeah.
I can't fucking see.
Yeah, yeah, there's the
bones.
What do you get?
I think you get half off your bill.
See, look. Got the little sandwich and the bones.
So if you get
that's worth it.
If you get a grilled cheese sandwich with, you know, skull and crossbones at Melt.
Wow.
If you get a grilled cheese sandwich tattooed on your body, you'll get half off your bill.
Yeah, 100%.
Half off on your macaroni and cheese.
And you get a t-shirt with a number on it.
Really?
I was number 423.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
and something. The only reason I did it is because I was at the tattoo shop getting something else.
Right.
And the dude's like, you got a nice hole here. And he's like, everybody keeps asking for these Melt tattoos. Can my apprentice practice it on your spot? And I said, fucking go for it.
Dude. Give me half off mac and cheese.
So I didn't even pay for it. And I had my hole filled on my arm. And
it's important if you try to eat the Melt at Cedar Point. Because Cedar Point, the amusement park or the amazement park, food's a little expensive.
Yep.
But if you have the Melt tattoo, it softens it right down.
Yeah, because they have to honor it.
Because they have to honor it.
Because then it's like exactly regular price.
Yes, and that's totally acceptable at Cedar Point. I'll go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's God, that's crazy. So anyway, that's the adventure. And if we leave, Wednesday morning or something, right? And it sounds like these hours of getting in kind of are important. So if we leave Wednesday morning... If we leave at 6 a.m. Wednesday morning, we're not getting there until 6 p.m. Wednesday night. And they may not let us in at 6 p.m. Wednesday night.
But what we found is that
The swap meet office hours are from noon to six on Wednesday.
Well, see, if Dave's going to beat us there,
he'll have all the credentials. That's going to be the easy part. Okay.
And actually driving in to the swap meet, as long as the lanes are clear, is not a big problem.
Okay, good.
As long as you do it before it gets too late is the best way to say it.
Okay, right. So we might have to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well,
so right. What are you taking? Are you taking classier bikes? Like, are you taking the Ducati and
some No, I'm stuff? Taking 200 square feet of Moto Guzzi parts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm taking 200 square feet of Moto Guzzi parts.
Makes sense.
I got to get rid of them. Mm. Nobody's going to buy them at my shop.
Right.
The idea of selling them on eBay. Nobody's on eBay anymore.
No.
The only place I can put them, the only place that people are is Facebook Marketplace.
And that's
impossible. And I'm just going to stab myself in the eye with a pencil every time I say Facebook
that's
Marketplace.
That's impossible to keep up with.
Yeah.
For a minute, I was going to sell Dead Guy Dodge.
Yes.
And I was like, I listed it and I said, like, attention, attention, attention. You must read the ad.
Oh,
please read
about
the ad. Yeah. Then I listed all the stuff saying that it has a problem with the rockers, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. 15 people.
Yeah. Is this still
showed
available?
Up at my house.
Oh, wow.
After I said, did you read the ad? Yes. Would you take, like, and there was like $100 off what I was asking. I was like, you know what? If you bring cash, sure.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
And they'd show up and be like, all right, well, let's take it for a drive. I was like, did you read the ad?
Right.
Why? Because it's not driving anywhere. Right. Like, these people were upset with me.
Yeah, because they didn't read your ad.
And it starts
It says in the ad, you don't even have to wait and make it to the bottom.
No.
It starts with does not run.
Right.
Right.
Please read ad. Yep. Truck
the people
not
that read the ad
running.
Didn't show up.
Well, no, I got a couple calls from guys. It was fine, but I'm glad it didn't sell.
Chris is exactly right. Those who did read the ad, they filtered themselves out.
Right. Well, that was the whole point.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the problem is, right.
Not everybody's ad sharp.
You can't make them read the ad. They saw truck, $3,000. Go buy truck.
Right. But then, of course, like you get the, you know, you're not talking to them on the phone. You're you're whatever that is, messaging them, right?
Yeah, sure.
So did you read the ad?
Yes.
So you understand about the truck?
Yes.
It's not currently running? Yes. Then they show up.
Right.
I literally said it's in the messaging them.
Get it.
Yes. People it is the correct use of the term literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have had.
I totally did that on purpose.
Totally. Not partially.
He literally did it on purpose.
Yep.
But that's that thing. Like, that's why I continue to sell vehicles on Facebook Marketplace, I'm going to stab somebody. It might be myself.
It was decided long ago. I would rather burn something in the middle of my front yard than put it on Marketplace for any length of time. We were talking about the Valiant a couple of podcasts ago. And I have tried to give it to people.
Doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
Doesn't matter.
Does not matter. Yeah. Free does not matter.
It means nothing. It means nothing.
And at this point, when that warehouse gets torn down, it will probably be in the warehouse.
At the bottom. Of the warehouse.
Oh, yeah. 73 Plymouth Valiant. Nobody wants it. All right, crickets. Cool.
That's exactly what it is. Hey, anyway, we have one of our podcast listeners and also a guy who owns a Honda Beat now as a result of listening to our podcast, who came down from New York to buy a Honda Beat and drove it home.
He is the director of
the Veterans Affairs, Veterans Suicide Prevention, Veterans Crisis Line, and he's been nice enough to donate to our podcast firearm locks. Now, if you have never been around guns before, the gun generally has an action. The action is where the bullets go. Before you've ignited them and sent them off to their happy place. And so from the magazine well into the breech or the action of the thing, a very small cable lock can be used to obstruct the ability to put bullets into the gun. If you have certain guns, you could actually run this down the barrel of the gun and then have the lock on it and thereby prevent bullets from getting into the barrel of like a revolver type gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with one of these and a little bit of creativity, you can make the firearms in your house safe from the children in your house. So perhaps if you have guns that are in a little bit of a gun safe or something is in a footlocker and you wanted to put this on, and I'm not saying this is the kind of thing, the little gun chastity belt here, but you might not want to put this on a gun that you were going to have somewhere, hopefully to shoot people that were coming into your house, because this would slow you down a bit. But for guns that we have that we don't want accidentally shot in our houses, this is a good decision. And putting these on your gun, especially if you have children that will come into your home, because
this kids is your rifle, this is your gun.
Kids will figure out any goddamn thing. But at least having this on and a lock somewhere else will slow them down.
Definitely. So my mom, 85 years old, right? I go over her or when I got home from my trip, from the Jeep trip, I went to make sure she was okay. I stopped because I'm still a halfway decent human being.
Right.
And so she showed me her new gun that she got.
Your 85-year-old mom?
Yeah.
Showed you her new gun?
And I'm kind of impressed. It has a key. It has an ignition key.
Wait a second,
she has the key around her wrist, and the gun cannot be fired unless you put the key and turn it. It actually has a fucking ignition key on the top of the gun, dude. It is the coolest fucking thing I've seen in a long time.
Not a key gun, but a gun with a key.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like the key just goes in and it unlocks the trigger mechanism by having the key to put into the gun.
What the fuck?
Like, so she traded in her other because she was taking lessons. She didn't tell me about any of this.
Your 85-year-old mom is taking gun lessons?
Yes. Nice. She's taking lessons. Apparently she's, you know, watching Fox News or something. So she's waiting for the end times. But she went and got this. But she traded in her old gun because this was going to be safer. And that way, if anybody broke in or stole it, they couldn't use it in a crime because they didn't have the key to, you know, be able to shoot it. I'll find out. I'll take pictures of it when I go this next week so you guys can see it, and I'll get the name and everything. I was blown away that she had that.
It wasn't just a trigger lock.
I found a La Quinta for $85 a night.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
With free breakfast.
Oh.
Well, yes, La Quinta is Mexican for right next to the Denny's.
That is. That's fantastic.
But yeah, anyways, I'll bring
that in. I'm shocked. I mean, I've had many, you know, guns with trigger locks. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's not this.
But there's an ignition hole on this gun.
Yeah.
So you have to turn the key.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I'm shocked.
It was really cool.
I was
impressed.
Shocked.
But also I think the guy got it for her because that way she's not gonna make a mistake. Like she has to be lucid of knowing what the fuck she's doing to put the key in to turn it to shoot something. You know what I mean? Because, like, I'm worried the mailman's going to knock on the door to fucking deliver a package and she's going to whop him. I'm just saying.
Is this a Glock?
I don't know. I was really quick. I was just looking at it and I just started laughing about how cool it was.
Because I did recently find out.
What happens if you lose the keys?
I don't know.
Oh. We're talking about the Glock safety lock.
The Glock safety lock.
It might
be a real thing.
It might be a Glock.
I'm going to pull this up here so our fellas here can see it. That's a thing.
Yeah.
There's a key that goes into the bottom of a Glock that literally is the Glock's safety lock. And it goes up into the bottom of the Glock and what they call the spur or the hasp of the gun behind the magazine well. So right behind the magazine well, pointing up at the ceiling, there's a funky little key, not a traditional key that you could copy, but a dimple key, and then there's a little protuberance that sticks out of the back of the grip that you would feel. But this is an add-on. This is something you can add to your Glock to put a key on your Glock.
I'll get a picture of it this week. I'm going to her house next week, so I'll get a picture of it. It was
weird.
Really cool. Yeah. But yeah, that shit's getting existed. Then I was starting to think about it. Why don't they have thumbprint like an iPhone?
Well, how about even a lower technology than that?
What's that?
It's called a ring safety.
Yeah.
And a lot of police departments back in the year of our Lord 1990 were using what was called a magna trigger.
Oh, I get it.
And a magna trigger, you wear a ring on each hand in case, you know, you're offhand shooting. Mm-hmm. And you have this particular ring around your finger, and the ring has a magnet built into it, and when it interacts with the frame of the firearm, it allows the gun to cycle normally. But if you're not wearing your ring, the gun can't shoot. And if your bad guy takes the gun from you, the gun can't shoot. There's no electronics involved at all.
Oh,
it is purely genius.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty clever.
But then you're wearing that ring all over the place. And look, there's a gun Camaro.
Two rings. You get a wedding ring on your left hand and an engagement ring on your right hand. Right. You have two rings on all the time. One of the departments that I worked with.
Oh, my two girlfriends get married.
Right. I thought it was North Olmsted maybe that had the rings. They had the rings. They all officers had to wear rings on both fingers. And that was for the...
And bells on their toes.
That was for the... that's exactly what it was. And we thought it was the strangest thing back then, but it does actually make perfect sense.
Sure.
Because only you can operate your firearm, right? And your gun taken from you, I've always said the worst thing in the world is a guy who's carrying like multiple guns. Because I only have to take one from him, but he's got to guard all three.
Right.
Right. So you're on the defense for all three guns. All I got to get is one.
Right.
So my job's a lot easier than yours is. Your weapons retention responsibility is through the roof. All I got to be is super aggressive. And you can't cover multiple guns all at the same time. So when you see an idiot in Walgreens who's sporting, you know, kidney carry, appendix carry, two behind the back carries, you know, and a shoulder holster, that guy, that overgunned guy is just, he's a gun store for people that aren't him. Well,
That's the joke about the come and take it sticker on everybody's truck, right, where it's free gun.
Messing hobby, right? Yeah. There's a free gun inside free this gun. Truck, right? Right. I can assure you that somewhere in this truck is a gun.
Yeah.
Break this window, right? That sign on the back of the window,
yeah.
That Masena Lab, that says break window for gun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Translated directly. But yeah, that's something. So I want to see a picture of this gun that has a key to use it.
Oh,
that is
sure.
So weird. Yeah. Hey, I'm not against it.
Right.
Because if your mom has to fiddle with the key.
Yeah, it's even better.
To make the gun shoot, way better. Yeah. Way fucking better, man. Oh, way fucking
that's
better.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah.
I have a motorcycle I would like us to look at.
Yes.
At some point.
John, bring it up, baby.
This is a motorcycle podcast.
Motorcycle.
Well, it floats.
All right.
I sent a text message. I don't know if you guys got it. Yeah.
No, tell me more.
That. What's going on there?
2023 Yamaha MT-09.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I want you to look at it and give me your impression.
Well, I love this bike.
Because we argued about it all day today at work between me and Ben. He's a avid motorcyclist.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Well, the one you sent looks like it's missing parts.
Well,
this is all part of it. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm gonna get a good enough picture of one so that we can.
Well, I like the picture that I sent. It's kind of specific.
No,
it's a ringer picture for me.
Oh, okay. All right.
But whatever, any picture of it.
All right. Fair enough. Right. Oh. No, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. So I'm just going to throw this up because this is a really good side picture for people to understand.
Well, I took some issue with the bike.
Okay. All right, but before you get... Okay.
Oh, no, it isn't missing pieces. It actually does have the rectifier in a position where you can just unplug it.
Yeah, there's no side panels.
I particularly like the picture where it was on its side stand, looking at the high side of the sides, you know, of the bike with it leaning on its side stand.
Okay, all right.
If there was one of those pictures...
I'm sure I can find one. Moment.
So the MT-09 is the three-cylinder that is the bike, the motor that used to be in my FZ-09.
It's an FZ-09.
It's an FZ-09. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hate that motor, so already I don't like
it. Sleepy did not have a good experience with that motor.
Nope.
Yep.
Does anybody take issue with that bike?
I don't. It doesn't do anything for me.
What's the one thing that I see? That picture doesn't really capture.
I'm going to find.
Well, it has no side panels. It looks like somebody popped the side covers off and left them on the floor.
If you look at here, look at this picture. This is the one I sent everybody via text message. I think. Let me see.
All right. I'm going to send this one up. I think this might cover the bases that you're talking about. John, does that picture help you?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
What catches your eye about that picture?
Well, a lot of things, John. A lot of things. First of all, I'm noticing that it is completely missing a right side cover.
Yeah.
I'm also noticing that there is a hole in the side of the frame uh-huh. right in front of the swinger or the subframe, right? Mm-hmm. That hits me. That, yes, I can see. It basically looks like a motorcycle that somebody else already crashed.
If you look at that exhaust, that's what we were talking
about. Yeah, well, the exhaust is a it looks like stainless steel mess.
They hired an HVAC guy.
I'm looking at that thing, and I think it's about... to me, this bike looks like it could go into regen at any moment. Like, well, and that's not even a bad... When you look at this thing, it looks like a brand new gas tank for F-150.
You're right.
It's like... It has a little hole that exits out, but...
Right.
And at the welds, you can see the burn. Like this picture, really, I don't know if you can see what
the stainless steel exhaust this is.
Yeah, right. But it's not a good looking one.
No, like, it looks terrible.
Look, it's 5 or 6 inches of ground clearance.
Right.
It's huge. It's just, I don't know. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will admit that this wins the dumbest looking exhaust I've ever seen on a motorcycle award. And intentional from the factory, meant to be this way.
Yep. Yeah.
So they could fit not one but two catalytic converters.
And Ben was suggesting that, you know, well, they're targeting a specific demographic, and and you know, that's what the kids like today. You don't like that. I'm like, I don't know anybody that would look at that exhaust and say that's a sharp looking exhaust.
Well, the funny part is,
and he was saying, well, it wouldn't stop me from buying the motorcycle, and I said, well, it'd stop me. I mean,
you mentioned like, the FZ09 actually gets that side panel you're missing.
It does. The FZ09 does get the side panel. I assure you, the FZ09 looks like they finished building the motorcycle.
But
yeah,
he's like, well, you got to understand that it's everybody knows they're going to switch out the exhaust. And I'm like, not me. Not if I'm buying a $10,000 motorcycle. I don't want to be like, well, I got to scrap this exhaust first thing.
Question. For 30 years of our motorcycling lives, what everyone did when they bought a brand new motorcycle is they took off the factory exhaust and put on a smaller, lighter, louder exhaust.
Yeah, if you're looking for 1980 sport bikes exhaust, turn signals or mirrors,
right?
They give them away.
They do. Takeoffs are out there and are plenty.
Constantly.
What I think is hilarious, though, is when I see pictures of these bikes modified, almost every single time a brand new bike, when they buy this bike and modify it, what do? The first thing they do is put an exhaust on it.
Yep.
So the first thing they do is get rid of the factory under GP style exhaust. Mm. They get rid of that and they put on an actual.
So that pipe was his argument. He said that, oh, nobody cares about the exhaust because they know they're going to tear it off and put it on. But I'm like, but I care.
Right.
Why would you put something so hideous? Why wouldn't you want to at least make it look decent? Why does it look just fucking so unfinished? Hell, you could have zip welded a little grill over it to kind of just make it look
finished.
They
couldn't be bothered to put a $35 panel over top of the regulator rectifier. I think the exhaust was the last thing.
Yeah, I had a Buell M2. I had a Buell M2 Cyclone that had the two brothers exhaust under the motorcycle.
Yeah. I remember that.
It was slicker than shit.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was aesthetically pleasing. It made good sounds.
I love the brakes on that bike.
And it looked nice. Yeah. It looked great. But this thing does not look good.
No. The frame's weird too. It's like a check mark. Like
it is a very weird frame. All right, I give you that all over the place. That's
You know what? I think that my FJ09 had that same frame, but it's covered up by those cheeks.
I was gonna say that's the thing is, if you had an FZ09, you had this bike. You just had more of it. You had all the pieces.
You got the extra $60 worth of plastics.
It's really funny how different that is. God, man, that's.
You know what, though? I would like to ride another one, though.
Yeah.
Because I rode two FJ09s.
Yeah.
And they both had that 3,800 to 4,500 RPM buzz.
Yep.
I wonder if it was just something to do with, these bikes could not be that popular if they felt like that.
This was my M2 before I started fucking with it. This is sort of the way it left out of the factory, right? Orange frame, orange wheels, black bike. And I took everything on this bike that was plastic. I took everything under the tail, that whole black piece of plastic under the tail. I pulled all that off of it. I took everything off of this bike that did not make it function. I mean, I removed the giant, the huge, ridiculous, you know, air intake thing. I did a good job of making that motorcycle smaller and lighter. I feel pretty good about it too. But again, that was an underbike exhaust, but you still could see, you know, see the header pipes. They look kind of cool. There's the, that bike came from the factory with a underframe exhaust system that actually worked. It did fine. And all the companies that made an aftermarket version of it, it actually worked and it did fine. Here's one thing I can probably tell you about your MT-09 is that when you take that Yamaha abortion off of the bottom of it, that probably has 96 valves and angles and power valves and left turns and right turns.
That's the problem,
though. I think the motorcycle's not going to be any better because I think that the days of us taking...
It's got to be lighter, though. That thing's huge.
Yeah. Probably.
But now you have to, so there's so many manufacturers, like if you go on places, they'll sell you a pipe for this shit. But like a lot of the new bikes have three sensors to four sensors that are plugging into them. Yep. And it's not going to work right with all these aftermarket pipes. Like even the Africa Twin, I never fucked with it. You got to do all this other shit, you know, whatever.
It's not an easy game.
No.
Yeah. Not when you get into a Euro 5 compliant bike.
Like there were no bungs on old exhausts. You just you could have a fucking broomstick and a pipe and it could be an exhaust in the old days. Like now everything has this and that. Yeah. And like, look, the TNT 135, I did everything you could possibly try to do to make that fucking thing work within a aftermarket thing.
Yeah.
And it just made it worse.
It didn't make it better.
I put the fucking stock pipe back on and I remembered how nice of a bike it was.
Well, with fuel injection systems and engineers designing them, we have to acknowledge that very many times the factory does a pretty good job.
Yeah, 100%, man.
But it also is funny that when you look at all these pictures of MT-09s, every aftermarket exhaust system for an MT-09 would be considered to be a retro exhaust system.
Yeah,
because it actually has 4-into-1 or 3-into-1 rather, and it has a mid pipe and it's got a can, right? As opposed to just an exhaust that goes under the vehicle and is basically made out of leftover space shuttle parts.
Well, a 22 doesn't look so bad. The 2022 actually has a pipe that comes out of that can and it kind of it looks way better.
Like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, a little shorty GP exhaust sticking out of it. Yep.
That's what the 22 has. Yeah.
But the 23 doesn't. That Euro 5 compliancy made it all about the volume of the can. Like you have to have more space, right?
Yeah.
You have to have more room for it to, those gases to expand. And I also am going to probably guess that if you cut that factory exhaust open, you're going to find a King's Ransom and Palladium.
Oh, there's a catalytic converter and everything.
Well, I think it's probably way bigger than you think it is. Yeah. Because that's been the solution.
I mean, if you could have made it, first of all, narrow, like squished it, ovaled it out, made it, and then maybe put something, a cover on it. It just looks like, to me, like you mounted a new gas tank for car underneath it.
They could have, you're right. It's like, it looks like everybody removed an awesome belly pan that covers that up.
And I mean, in my experience, that's going to be about 9 million degrees. So you can't want to put anything near it. If you put any bodywork near it, it's going to melt.
I'm just saying, like, you know, little stainless steel cover on it, like a little grill, a heat shield, or just smooth it out. I don't know.
It's definitely saying, well, let's not worry at all about the form. Let's just aim for the function.
You can see the weld burn. Like, the welds aren't, like, great welds.
Oh, no, I think that
stick welded.
I think that was intentional. Like, if you take the skin off of a rocket, like if you're like, oh, there's a rocket out here. It looks sexy and it's smooth and it's sleek. And if you take the skin off, what's underneath it is that exhaust. But nine of them, right?
Yeah.
And the welds are going to look exactly the same. And a lot of people are turned on by that. A lot of people find that aesthetic to be really, really attractive.
I don't agree. He was trying to make the same thing that there's a demographic, there's a person, there's a young kid who thinks that underbelly exhaust.
All right. Go back up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, the blue there is fine. Pull up the one with the aqua wheels.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what Johnny Mac's talking about with the aesthetic.
The aesthetic is
this. Because anybody that picks that color on a wheel on a bike like that.
Yeah. Well, this is the MT-03 that's got a real exhaust.
But the picture he pulled up actually had.
There is an
MT-09
with that same color scheme.
Those wheels. And, you know, anybody that grew up in the 90s knows that basically looks like a Dixie cup.
Yep.
You know,
that's
color scheme is
solo
totally,
jazz.
Right.
Yeah. Oscar has clothing that looks like this.
Exactly. Yep. And that's, you know.
He does. Yep.
I wasn't even worried. I mean, there's other issues that I might have with the rest of the bike.
But right. the wheels because I like the royal blue ones that were on the mm-hmm. other one.
Yep.
And the lighter green like that aqua tells an entirely different story about who's going to buy this bike.
Sure, it does. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, that nails it. That says a hell of a lot. Yep. You see that color? You see that dolphin safe color?
Yep.
That's going after a younger yep. Zero did that with their first Zero SRF. They brought it out in red. For traditional people, yeah. And they brought it in yeah. you know, this that dolphin safe blue.
Yeah.
And they when they brought it out that way, it's because they have young people that are like, ooh, yeah, that almost
right.
baby blue, powder blue, is selling now. It's hot. Yeah, it's a hot color. But I totally agree with John. The exhaust under the MT-09,
yeah.
That's a fucking mess. It's just a fucking mess. And it looks completely unfinished and the whole deal. However, I would also like to remind our friends that there was a period of time when muffler wrap, heat tape, was considered to be something that was used but not seen. And there was no such thing as fashionable muffler wrap. There was no such thing as fashionable heat tape. Muffler wrap was something you put on when you had other issues with your car and you needed to route the muffler a little too close to your brake lines. A little too close to your fuel lines, a little too close to the floor, and your wife kept burning her feet on the floor of your car, or your brakes kept boiling out, or your fuel line kept boiling out. So you had to wrap your muffler, your header pipes, in heat tape to manage the heat situation. Well, then street router people were like, shit, that shit looks good. Let's just wrap it, leave it out in the open, because it's going to be like, go fast shit. And then everything you know, every motorcycle in the world had wrapped headers. Like, that became the thing. And I got to listen to really stupid people tell me about how it makes their bikes faster. Yep.
That's great.
Got it on mine. Because it looks cool. Yep. But that's
if there's any one sure way to rot an exhaust, it is to put muffler wrap around it.
Absolutely. Why does your exhaust fall apart? Well, did you wrap it? I did. Mm-hmm. What did you wrap it with? Oh, completely soaking wet fiberglass?
Yep.
You did. Okay, great. And every time you rode the bike in the rain, what did it do? It held like 3 pounds of water.
Oh, yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yep. Rots the shit right out of your yep. exhaust. If you don't have a stainless steel exhaust, don't use it.
Yep.
Yeah. Bad news. Bad news bears. But yeah, I agree. Fucked up. That exhaust does look like a mess. Yeah, why did they do that? Like, why the fuck did they go to the trouble of designing a decent motorcycle?
Well, okay.
I think, though.
Okay.
It has to just be sheerly, like you say, emissions. That's just, they built what they had to build, yeah. stuck it on there. They yeah. didn't try to make it look pretty. They didn't try to.
And the concept is, this is going to get through EPA. This is going to get Euro 5 compliancy.
Right.
And everybody's going to take it off anyway. Don't waste.
That was his argument. Like,
yeah.
So
don't waste one molecule of fashion on this.
It's not going to keep anybody from buying the bike because they know they're going to be changing.
Right.
Well, anyway. But for how long more? We're still fighting at work at Summit. We just got more notifications from the brass. We have to send letters and stuff. Like, California is going to outlaw any modifications whatsoever by 2010.
Yeah.
They're moving to other places. So, like, it's going to get to the point where, like, there isn't going to be any aftermarket. It'll be fine and you won't get your license plates renewed. So that kind of sucks.
That's been Germany for the past 40 years. That's been Japan for the past 40 years. Japan, the number one selling item is a steering wheel because that's just something you're allowed to change.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So everybody has a custom steering wheel in their car. Mm. Right. They can get away with things like different wheels and stuff like that, but it all has to go back on. All the original parts have to go back on so it can get inspected. Same with TÜV in Germany. All those parts have to go back on again so they can get reinspected. In America, we've had this insane freedom to be able to be like, oh, what kind of muffler do you want on your car? Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to have cherry bombs on the bottom. Okay, fine. As long as... will your car pass e-check? Doesn't need to. It's 26 years old. Well, then off you fuck, man. Have at it. Put those glass packs on.
Get out of here.
Right. Pitter-patter. I don't think there's... in other cultures where they have not had the ability to be that way for a very, very long time, yet they still exist. Mm. And nobody's ever saying, oh, those Japanese have been really, really set back. Boy, they're poor Japanese not being able to have tuned pipes on their MT-09s for the past 30 years boy, that really held them back as a country.
Yeah, but all right, did they allow it for race cars though? Because what they're trying trying to do now is stop race car modifications. Well, it's either
California, they're trying to stop everything that isn't right. Legitimately, this is a thing.
No, but they're trying to push this across the country.
Well, yeah, but you know how much pushback there is against CAFE standards altogether in the United States. I mean, Texas will go to war if you tell them they can't roll coal. So
I think every senator and congressman in America will have a problem if you try to take away quarter mile drag racing.
Except Mitch McConnell.
Well,
I don't. How do you think that?
Give him 15 seconds.
Yeah. He's got to catch up.
Because their constituents are people that embrace motorsports.
Yeah.
Right?
No, their constituents are people that buy like Lamborghinis and shit, but they're all Saudis anyway, so.
A guy with an Austin, Texas address,
has a Montana license plate.
What does these people that tend to be in red states and tend to have red governors and red senators, well, what do they like?
Lead poisoning.
God, guns, and guts, right? F-150s.
Yeah, but that shit's happening. So, like, there was a dude on YouTube that all he was doing was, he wasn't making them. He was buying modified ECUs, selling them for off-road use only for drag racing. Yeah. And the EPA fined him $186,000.
Oh. It doesn't even go that 13. Far. It's oh shoot, who used to do the reject kits? Powerjet?
Super Trap.
That's it.
No, State of Ohio, Super Trap. Yeah. Our guys here, friends here, Cleveland, Ohio company, got super duper sued for selling exhaust systems in California. And the story, whether or not it's true or not, was it wasn't even that the exhaust systems were on bikes. They went into a shop and the exhaust systems were hanging on the walls.
Yeah.
And I don't care how many times you print the word for off-road use only on something or for track use only or competition use only. The point is California has a law about that. And because California has a law about that, guess what?
Well, the story to beat is the guy with a Hyundai. He had a Hyundai, and the new Hyundai, whatever sporty race car wannabe thing that Hyundai sells.
Stinger?
Velociraptor? Sure, whatever the hell piece of crap Hyundai sells. Has a button on it that says, you know, racetrack versus street. Yep. And if you hit the race button, it opens the baffles and the exhaust like 10 degrees, and it makes the poppy sound like every dumbass BMW that rolls down the street going bop, 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 like an idiot, not knowing your valve train's going bad. But he got pulled over by a cop because the thing that the cops and the CHP is doing now is pulling you over if they think you have a modified car.
Okay.
He had just bought the car, hit the stupid button, got pulled over, got a DB check. They failed the car. And then he literally was out like, what does a new Hyundai cost? $12.57. Because the car made this noise and had to go all the way back up to Hyundai corporate just to get this thing out of hock.
Mm-hmm.
Because California was like, this car is illegal. And Hyundai corporate was like, no, this car is totally illegal. We've been selling 10 of them in the state. And it literally was this back and forth for 6 months.
Sure, right.
And it's all because this has become a thing. And he's not wrong. Sleepy's not wrong. This has become a thing in California specifically.
Sleepy's not wrong.
I hear that a lot. I don't think that it's going to put an end to motorsports at all. It's going to make you trailer your race car to the track.
No, but they want to shut down. This is the problem we're having. They want to shut down racetracks. They don't want racing.
Well, then they're going to have to embrace electric.
There's a lot of petitions
going
on.
Who is they?
The man. He is fighting the man.
The EPA and
the regulatory. So Mazda that used to be, you know, Laguna Seca. Laguna Seca now has laws that say because people live near Laguna Seca.
Because they're dumb.
That it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. Why wouldn't you live there?
People are dumb living next to a racetrack and expecting to be quiet.
Yeah, that's the trick.
Right. People don't move to the French Quarter because they don't like jazz.
John wouldn't have a problem living on a beautiful 200-acre place with a beautiful house if there was a trap and skeet field next to him. Right? But Tim Misney, the lawyer, does.
Right.
But it might get old, though.
It might get old.
But then
Laguna Seca has had to have a decibel limit.
Knowing that.
Exactly.
And exactly I would have accepted right. that when I bought the house.
Yeah, right. Because you're not an asshole.
Now, if somebody there owned their house before that racetrack was built and they've been living there continuously,
right.
then I could see maybe their beef.
But
if somebody bought a house right next to the racetrack and then wants to complain that there's a racetrack, that person is an idiot.
But hold on, but time out. But let's but think about this. You got to take it to where you actually logically might go, and it might not be the homeowner at all. It could have been the realtor, and the homeowner has no idea about racing. Realtors are shady. They want to sell a $1 million house. They're like, look at this thing. They take them there on a Monday.
Buyer,
be sleepy. They didn't where? Tell you your house is built on a Native American graveyard.
That's what I'm saying.
And you wonder why your cat's all fucked up.
Right. Weird. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, they're shady.
Kids climbing into a television. It's just getting weird.
Okay. So
I hate the new house that I bought because it's by a racetrack.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I didn't get fucked, but I got the tip from my real estate agent.
That's
you know what? I think I'm going to sell this
and
house.
And then a Chinese investment firm is going to come along. Blackstone's going to buy that tomorrow anyway. It doesn't matter.
So check it out, guys. Laguna Seca. It's a racetrack. I've been there a bunch of times. It's super cool. It's great.
Boy, there sure are a lot of BMWs.
We live in a ninny state. That's what it is.
90 decibel rule. Now, 90 decibels happens to be the same as your exhaust on your motorcycles here in the state of Ohio. We already have that law. That law already exists. That law is on the books already. What they're saying is you go to mid-Ohio and you hear the V8 powered awesomeness. Coming around the corners, bah, 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 right? That doesn't work at Laguna Seca.
Right.
Laguna Seca is 90 decibels.
Well, when I was out there about 6 years ago, they did not have that because the Porsches on that rough thing, you could hear them for 5 miles from the racetrack.
Absolutely. And here's a list of cars that come from the factory too loud for Laguna Seca. Some of these cars are Chevy Corvette, a ZR1, a Z06. A C6, C7. These are common cars. These aren't that weird.
It's all right. People don't race Corvettes anyway. They
Doc GTR
clashes with the white shoes.
And the satin jacket. There's way too many people racing Corvettes out there. A lot of people racing Corvettes. Probably the most raced car in the United States market.
One of the greatest racing cars ever.
Oh, John. But the big thing is Porsche Caymans. Like these are civilian cars. Yeah. These are civilian cars. Not modified. These are stock or showroom trim are too loud. And they've got decibel meters there. You see the donut flag 3 times, you're off the track. So I hope that you didn't spend a whole lot of money to be there. Because aside from the laps you took and got 3 donut flags.
Audi R8, you spent too much money getting there in the first place.
Whatever it is. Those are stock cars. Those aren't race cars.
Oh, I know.
Those are factory street cars that are not allowed to be at Laguna Seca. So here's the trick. What happened was the people that race at Laguna Seca now understand exactly where the sound booth is. And guys are programming their cars, computers, to make it quieter as they approach the sound booth. So where the audio sampling is occurring, when you go by, your car's a lot quieter. Probably down on power, but a lot quieter when it goes past the sound booth.
They Volkswagened it.
They Volkswagened it. They literally went through, right? So I think this is pretty interesting that people have come up with interesting ways to deal with it. There are also exhaust companies that have come up with better exhaust systems to keep your car under 90 decibels without a loss of power or response.
So what you're telling me is government regulation forced by the locals have created innovation and therefore capitalism wins.
Yes, exactly what I'm telling you. That if you race on Sunday, you can sell on Monday.
There you go.
Right? And if they said that there was a device for your car that would keep it within the legal decibels limits, but make it more powerful.
That's a good argument for a turbo because, you know,
especially good argument for a turbo.
Turbo makes horsepower, does everything, and makes it quieter.
And it makes it quieter.
A muffler on the other side of a turbo, and you're fine.
You're fine. You're absolutely fine. And I love the idea about companies responding to this because every day we listen to extraordinarily loud motorcycles go past our shop.
I love sitting out on a summer night listening to the bikes wailing out on 90.
Oh no! I just hear potato crap.
We don't get to hear that. We get to hear
blip 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 blip. Now the guy playing The guy playing the smooth jazz the other day, that was a bonus.
The guy that went by our shop at Marcellus at 130 decibels.
Oh, yeah, no, this was
wild. And he had big spiky handlebars. Like above his hand grips were these big spikes, big triangle spikes that went up about
smooth
6 feet in the air.
Jazz.
And he was listening to, I think it was Bradford Marcellus.
I think it was Bradford Marcellus,
was what he was playing. At 130 goddamn decibels.
It was as loud as you could get it.
I can't get mad at dude. No. That was pretty cool.
Oh, it was great.
But it was a cat and mouse situation between his exhaustuses and his stereosis.
Yeah, well, it was. Right? Yeah. Now, and to be perfectly honest, he had that sound system way too high. He didn't have enough amplification for his speakers or vice versa, because it was crackling real bad. It was
garbage.
Horrible. But it was this whole situation that was just surreal.
Well, now we have slingshots and we have can-ams, which is more place to mount speakers.
Yeah.
I've seen that. They start to look like just cars.
Yeah.
There's so many speakers.
So this guy goes by our shop the other day with a can-am with a rack of 8 speakers on the back. 10-inch drivers
facing them
behind him like they were rocket exhausts
and
he's playing whatever music for the entire neighborhood to hear and so me being the guy on the Vespa, so I immediately pulled in front of him because he can't go between lanes or anything. It's literally 9 feet wide,
right?
It's a Chevy Cavalier, a can-am spider. But anyway, I pulled in front of him, got in front of him. And I had to stop at the light anyway in Lorraine, as you have to. It's relatively quiet where I'm sitting, but everything behind him is broken window territory, right? And I turned around and I was like, dude, your shit sounds like shit. And he's like, what? And I said, your shit sounds like shit. I have an audio engineer friend who can fix all that. But right now it's just Chinese decibels.
Yep.
It's lowest bidder. It sounds like garbage. You got no bass, you got no mids, it's all just trash. And it's just trash, and you know what? You're not doing any favors.
Nobody cares.
To P. Diddy.
Yeah.
You made him sound like Pee Wee Herman. It sucks. Like, everything you got going on, I said, I know an audio engineer who can hook your ass up and make it sound awesome. But right now, everyone's making fun of you, man. And he was like, yeah, fuck you, buddy. And I was like, no, seriously. I drove down here to tell you, we just got done making fun of you. When a 54-year-old white guy is making fun of your rig, you've hit a new bottom.
Yeah.
You've hit a new low.
Now I
shouldn't be allowed to make fun of anybody.
I gotta tell you my favorite fad of all time, since we're talking about amplification and horrible sounds, is when people used to use the pool speakers, the big outdoor speakers, just the single cone horn plasticness.
So
you're talking about tinny and
garbage.
That's garbage. But that brief period of time when they were using external PAs from like a pool.
This to play was music. Just that terrible. Was it just funny. Sounded like crap. Yeah. And if you're doing that, stop. Yeah. Like, because we have the Harleys that come by the shop. And the whole Batwing fairing is nothing but 6x9s.
Yeah. Right? Or even worse, like some of the guys now at the baggers are putting like 12-inch woofers on the sides of them and stuff.
On the sides.
And I'm like,
I saw that the other day.
Well, it's
the sides.
We remember the guy with the Liberty that rolled in and has the 6x9s.
They might be Marine speakers.
But even if they are Marine speakers, there was no grills
or anything on them.
There's like, no boxes.
Stone into that
there's
sucker,
no boxes
man.
Behind them.
Yeah.
So all they do is push air around, right? There's no boxes. They sound like absolute shit. It's just, it's money, but no brains.
Well, I don't,
But that's that thing. We talk about the sound, right? I fucking can't stand it. I'd rather hear Lakewood's illegally loud sirens on their fucking rescue rigs going by. But those fucking goddamn Harley Davidsons. Oh,
I always wanted to get like a really nice, big, fat sound system that was perfect.
Yeah.
And then just only thing I'd play through it would be the sound of a recording of like a rattly trunk.
A rattly trunk.
It would be like the perfect residence for like just playing it.
I just want to hijack their systems. But honestly, what I just want to do is knock their bikes over.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do because they just sound like shit. So bad. Oh, fuck you, John. Can't handle it. Not take it. I will not have you minimize my angst.
No. You don't know what
did the guy with the 48-inch front wheel have a system on his sled?
Yes, he did.
I have.
Yeah, yeah.
I have.
What do you?
you didn't hear about this?
What?
John's the 48-inch
wheel. No, we're tracking two different things here. Okay. All right. You'll tell me later. Okay, that's fine.
It was during the podcast, right?
No, I was doing something. Oh, it was something else. You guys, it's a little inside thing.
That's fine. That's okay.
This is an inside joke. You only if you pay $25,
$10 Patreon level, you get the inside joke.
You get the inside joke.
That's exactly right. So, anybody got a joke for us tonight? Anyone? Come on, anyone?
There's three couples. They're on an airplane going to the Bahamas. The airplane goes down. They all die. All three couples are standing in front of St. Peter. St. Peter says to the first guy, "You're just a horrible human being. You lived for nothing but money. So much so, your wife's name is Penny. Get out of my sight." Next guy says, you've been a lush all your life. All you ever did was drink. So much so, your wife's name is Sherry." Third guy looks at his wife, says, "We better get out of here. We better get out of here, Fanny. We don't have a chance."
Hey, all right. I thought you were going to say Peg.
Peggy.
I thought you were going to say Peg.
Peggy?
Hey.
Peggy, we better leave.
I thought you were going to say Peggy. We better Peg. We better leave.
No. And then it would a little stinger
Peggy,
for
can
John.
Can we leave? Peggy, do we have permission to leave?
That's it. That's right. Peggy? Can we? Peggy, do I have permission to leave? Yes. 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 That's one two gags for no.
Know your audience.
Yeah. I did want to call attention before we shut this down to a little piece of film that I have to give props to, because
is this going to be on the Pornhub?
No, okay. no, my friends, not at all.
Oh, hey,
it's a work of fiction. I don't care. I loved every minute of it. It made me very happy. The movie was The Pope's Exorcist.
Yeah.
And I loved the movie because I understand it's a fiction. You know, it's a fiction. Because that son of a bitch rode a fucking Lambretta from Italy to Spain.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
He had to go and fight the devil, and he rode a fucking Lambretta.
Well,
from Italy to Spain.
And it's a Cervetta.
We're getting into the technicalities.
And I have no idea what... Because, like, it's
actually,
like,
I think it's a TV-175.
Well, no, because the panels are clip-ons.
Well, the panels are marked 150, but the forks have...
But the forks have the... Yeah, this is a mishmash.
It is a mishmash. It's a bunch of different bikes with a Ferrari sticker on the front.
Right.
But what I did love about it is he used it, a utilitarian. He pulled the mouth of hell open with it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, pretty fucking cool. He used the Lambretta to open the gates of hell, the mouth of hell.
Of course, like we all do.
As we all do. I gotta say, for a fiction, it was spot on. The scooter parts were deadly fucking accurate.
Oh, it broke down all the time?
Nope.
Oh.
No. But
then it's not accurate.
Yeah, but it is...
He
did push it. Okay. Right. He did push it. I thought the movie was fun. I enjoyed the movie, but I especially love the Lambretta.
Is this a newer movie?
It's on Netflix.
Yeah
it's out
it
right
is
now.
Very new.
Yeah. I enjoyed the movie, but I especially love the fact that this guy, who's a certain kind of fella, they give him a Lambretta and that's his ride. Yeah. And he rides it from Italy to Spain.
This movie did for Lambretta what Luca did for Vespa.
No, not remotely. No.
Then he'd be riding a Royal Enfield.
A lot of Russell Crowes are not going to come into my shop and be like, "I need a Royal Alloy."
Yeah.
But I was thinking about like, we're going to do a special edition Royal Alloy and we'll do it as the Pope's Exorcist.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Because after the Bieber Bieber fiasco, we can't go wrong.
The Vespa Summer.
We can't go wrong.
Vespa
Summer Edition. All right, that's it. Anybody got anything else?
No.
Fuck it. Ride fast, take chances. Play us out here, John.
Bum, 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 bum,